much about.
The wild women, the wild women, the ripping and the tearing, the ripping and the tearing.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Woo. I know where you at, man. You had it all. Now it's gone. It's torn a hole in your soul. Bigger than my Escalade. So you turn to the drugs, the alcohol, the pornography, freebasing with OJ, human trafficking, dogfight / orgies, darkness. But let me tell you something, as a man who has come through the dark and into the light, I can assure you that the will of the Lord is not limited to just me. If you need me, I'm here for you. Not just as a friend, as a brother in Christ.
And now.
Say you love Jesus, say it.
If I say I love another man, doesn't that make me gay?
Do you want to be damned for all eternity?
No, I just want you to go to hell.
Our feature presentation.
That's from Weeds, isn't it?
Quite a conversation.
It is from Weeds. Can't wait for Weeds to come back in a couple weeks. And by the way, before that, a little Craig Robinson, or as Lisa calls him, Craig Wilson.
Craig Wilson.
I saw The Hot Tub Time Machine and Zach and Mary Make a Porno over the weekend.
Wow.
Craig Robinson just couldn't be any funnier in both movies.
He's awesome.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he really
just
is.
Just so
great.
Funny.
What changed that you decided to watch two good movies over a weekend?
I had some in-house projects going on, so right. I kind of had them on while I was, you know, running around doing stuff in the house. So it's a Craig Robinson Film Festival.
All right.
Anyway, it's Thursday. Your call's up next at 1-800-520-1067. That's the telephone number for Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew. Get on the air, get a prize. I wasn't going to do this story, although I find it interesting, and it does involve death. Oh, give me Bean's Death Corner, if you would. I'm sorry. I should have given you the heads up on that before I do the story.
Right.
But the last line of the story is, the ticket was voided about an hour and a half after he was pronounced dead.
All right.
When I saw that, I said, we need to talk about this one on the air.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray. There's something wrong in his head.
Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean. Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Request yesterday for that to be put up on KevinandBean.com, so a guy, two different people could use it as their ringtones, by the way. So
nice.
Apparently,
awesome.
Very catchy. A Seattle parking enforcement officer ticketed a man Tuesday who authorities said was likely dead hours before the ticket was issued. I love this story.
Wait, around he was in the car and they ticketed him?
And he was dead.
All right.
Around 9:30 a.m. Tuesday, the parking enforcement officer marked the man's car in a two-hour parking zone. You know how they do that? They go by with a piece of chalk and they put it on your tire because you're only allowed to park there for 2 hours, and right. They come back later to see if the car has moved, right? The woman returned afternoon, found the car had moved. She rapped on the window twice in an attempt to wake the man, said a police spokesperson. When she was unsuccessful, she concluded that the individual was simply a sound sleeper and left the ticket on the windshield and continued her patrol.
All right.
Oh, my God.
About 40 minutes after the man was fined $42 for parking too long in a two-hour spot, his girlfriend located the car with a GPS device because apparently the man had been missing. So they found out that he, in fact, had died. They don't have a specific time of death yet. But the police sergeant said it is not uncommon for parking enforcement officials to find people asleep in their cars, and that the woman, a 29-year parking enforcement veteran, did nothing wrong in those circumstances. That surprises me to find out that there are lots of people who are getting tickets in cars while they're asleep in the car.
Yeah, you're right. You'd think they just wake up and move.
If you can't wake them up, medical emergency, something?
Isn't that a bad sign?
Yeah.
I guess after 29 years, though, maybe she had just had that happen so many times where somebody was just sleeping, you know, maybe drunk, didn't want to drive home or something, so just sleeping it off. They show up the next morning and give them a ticket or something. I mean, I can understand why you wouldn't, although I can understand why I wouldn't want to get involved in something like that. But if I'm a police officer, it does seem like you need to go
easy.
Kind of above and beyond to make sure the person's alive.
Easy with the police officer with the parking enforcement. We should do enforcement, by the way.
It has to be the worst job, right?
Well, I mean, imagine it just would be
I mean, everyone
terrible.
Hates you.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Anyway, again, the ticket was voided about an hour and a half after he was pronounced dead. So that is good news for the family members. At least now they don't, hey, we lost dad and we've got to pay $42. So at least there is an upside to their day.
That actually surprises me.
The key here is that they put that little mark on your tire. So what you do is you go out and you just get in your car and you move it forward eighth of an inch, half an inch.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then that little white line
moves, what you do.
And they don't see it and you're fine.
Right.
That's the way to beat it. Don't die.
Yeah, dying's an overreaction, I think.
Right, right. You don't need
just
to die.
Just a ticket.
You cannot pay it rather than die. Those are your
rather
options.
Exactly.
All right, your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You get on the air, you get a prize. A couple lines are open, and we'll talk to you right now.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Los Angeles Galaxy taking on Real Madrid this Saturday night at the Rose Bowl. Kevin, what did we learn yesterday as the new slogan for MLS?
Oh, I forget.
Soccer, it's not just for gays and Europeans anymore.
That's right. That's
so
good.
So if you want to be there to see Kevin and Cristiano Ronaldo and Kaká and the 9-time European champion Real Madrid, who, as Kevin pointed out, is half of the World Cup winning Spain team, this is a great opportunity for you to see it in person. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to get on the air and get your prize.
It's weird when you see a team like that where half of them are all, you know, superstars.
Yeah.
Really bizarre.
That's pretty amazing.
But they are just like the Yankees. They are just like the Lakers, where they've just been always building, you know, franchises that will destroy.
Yeah. So,
which is interesting in that they had never won a World Cup before, right?
Spain had not, no.
As unbelievable as they have been, as many great teams as they have fielded, I wonder what took them so long to finally get the combination.
I don't know. There's some kind of a civil, like, war going on in Spain. They want to separate. One side wants to separate from the other. And then you've got the two teams, Barcelona and Real Madrid, that are just bitter rivals.
Yeah.
Just bitter, bitter rivals. And then they always make the team out of those two. So they don't play together well as a team very often.
All right, let's start with Brandon, shall we? He is on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show to get us started on a Thursday. Hey, Brandon, thanks for calling. What to do?
Thanks, guys. Hey, you got a funny story. My brother called into the show. This is actually, I think it's closer to 10 years ago. He helped you guys with a problem on a computer. You guys gave him a ticket to go on the bus to Vegas, and you guys set him up with, I believe, one of the interns at the time, and they ended up getting married.
Now, wait, a bus to Vegas, meaning it was a singles party that we were going to
Vegas?
Yeah,
correct. Okay. That's exactly what it was.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so they ended up getting married, and it was a really nice wedding down by the beach in Huntington. And Jimmy Kimmel shows up, and he's in a suit. He's got this cocktail in his hand. His tie is all half sideways. pretty funny. I'm like, and this is before, you know, I think he's just doing the man show.
Right.
I'm like, wow, that's Jimmy Kimmel. And so long story short, they get married, very brief marriage for about a year and a half. She was really obsessed with the TV show, had it all dialogued and would do dissertations, and she was kind of a nutcase. And ever since then, my brother's been a wreck. And come to think of it, she's a parking enforcement officer, and I haven't talked to my brother in a few days.
Oh, so he could be dead in a car somewhere.
How about
somewhere.
That?
Yeah. No, okay, I'm kidding. That's not true. But yeah, that was just a funny story I wanted to call and tell you guys.
Okay, but I'm not sure I understand what the point of the story is. It's just that some people from our singles party
got married
and divorced. That's what you're calling to tell us.
Correct. And now he refuses to listen to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, I don't blame him.
Yeah. Oh, because, hey, just for my own entertainment, do you remember the intern's name? I'm trying to picture who it is that we might have married off.
Beth.
Yeah, I thought it was Beth.
Oh!
Oh!
How about that?
Little Beth.
Yeah.
How about
little short-haired Beth.
She's moved on through about 7 other weddings since then.
Yeah, she's been married a few times since then. But we still keep in touch from time to time. But that's a great story. Thank you very much for the call. Although it was way too long to be considered a long story short. I just got to give you a tip there. All right. Let's try Chris. He's going to weigh in on your parking enforcement tip here. Chris on line 3 joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chris, what'd it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What's going on?
Well, I had to start with the parking enforcement guy.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, parking enforcement in Pasadena is horrible.
Oh,
yeah,
Rapadena.
Yeah.
Rapadena, because they rape the taxpayer.
Yeah.
They'll get you right in front of your face too, because I'm going to Cordon Bleu, and there's a big big windows
mm-hmm.
where you can see right through the parking lot. And my buddy actually moved his car an eighth of an inch, just a little bit. and the parking person still got him. And the funny thing was that we all watched him get the ticket. That fool ran out of the classroom, ran. We saw him talk to the guy, and he still got the ticket.
Oh, once they start, yeah. This is what I understand. Once they start writing that ticket, I mean, you could be in the car, you could be talking to the, it doesn't matter, they're going to finish writing the ticket. That's just the,
he begged and pleaded, dude. He got down on his knees.
Right, worthless.
And he was like, please don't. And they still gave him.
Maybe he didn't move the car enough that that little white mark got moved.
Oh, no, he moved it.
Yeah.
Huh.
Maybe they're writing down license plates.
Oh. I did, like, Armor All baby wipe, like a tire baby wipe. I wiped it off completely.
Cleaned it off.
And it didn't work.
Oh.
I was at, Pasadena parking portion is horrible.
I was at, like, a Grateful Dead. After Jerry died, they had another band called The Other Ones, and I went to see that show. So it was, the parking lot was filled with hippies.
Well, you deserve it.
And they were marking and right after they marked it, I wiped it off, and there was all these hippies around, and like, yeah, good work, yeah. And good the guy thinking. Came back and started writing a ticket. He's all, and just got a clap back at him. I was like, what's going on? It's war over my car with hippies.
Well, you know what I say.
Hippies. I mean, period. Hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it until I die. Hippies.
All right, we have some great calls, but we only have time for one more. And this is, I was hoping Micah would call on line four because we expected this call today, and I think something needs to happen as soon as possible. Micah, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do? What'd hi, Micah.
Hey, Psycho Mike. What it do, baby boo?
Hey, man.
Hi.
Hey, so
Micah, for folks who don't recognize the name, is Psycho Mike's gay admirer. And, of course, he's calling because it's a very, very, very important week for the California gays. Micah, do you have a question you'd like to ask Mike?
Yes. Basically, I was wondering if he would let me make an honest woman out of him.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes, is the answer.
I tweeted last night to Mike and Micah. I said, now that it's legal, Kevin and Bean will pay for the wedding and do it on the radio. You just tell us when. We'll be happy to make it happen.
We have to discuss this further because if I'm going to go for the sausage, Micah is a great choice. So, I mean, there's always...
If you're going for sausage, I am the sausage
party. You're the
party.
Sausage party.
Come on. So you will officiate the wedding, Kevin. Right. I think that's only appropriate.
Micah, let's get one thing out of the way. Who's pitching? Who's catching?
Who's on top?
I'm definitely going to be pitching.
Sorry.
Son of a gun.
That's a deal breaker.
Is that a deal breaker for you, Mike?
Well, not for Mike, apparently. He's considering.
Yeah, listen, hey, I'm not ruling anything out.
Yeah. And Micah's your type, right? He's a buff, you know, good-looking guy, buff guy, witty. Funny guy,
Mike,
right?
I was going to say, at least hit it right on the nose. He's not only handsome and muscular, he's funny. Yeah. So that's a big plus.
Yeah.
Mike, you know where to reach me. We'll discuss this further.
All right.
Although, I will tell you, as happy as I am for you to be able to marry Micah, I wouldn't wish Psycho Mike on anyone, man or woman. I don't know that you'd be happy living with this dude. That's what I'm, and all of his crazy dogs.
Yeah, some people are not meant to be married ever
to anyone.
Plus, he'll never be home. One of them, honestly.
Exactly.
Well, that's true. But I work two jobs anyway, so I'm never home.
Oh,
either.
All right.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. Right, you know how many he's considering it.
You know how many relationships succeed, Lisa, based on the fact that they never see each other? I mean,
it does help.
That may be the perfect relationship. True. That's true.
All right, so we'll get back to you kids at another time when you've had a chance to work out some of the details, but thanks for calling, Micah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, okay.
We're going to talk to Joe Rogan today.
There it is.
UFC fight this weekend. Mm-hmm. We have Internet Roundup for you today. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew today.
Okay.
More Citizen of the Day. We have a weird story. I don't even think I can do it justice by trying to summarize it, but we have a weird story between Bean and Mike and Rachel Nichols.
Oh. It's very tense.
It's odd.
To tell you.
There's been a lot of arguing.
Yep.
And it takes more time to
this
recap.
Could ruin their friendship.
Than I can do right now. So we got that coming up as well.
I'm hoping that Mike and Micah get married. That'll clear my way for Rachel Nichols without any kind of obstructions.
I was walking into work, running into work today, and I got to the front door, and there was a black cat that was there, and it was hissing at me. And I yelled, F you! And we have a problem. We didn't realize that Lisa May has been feeding these cats, these feral cats, for a year and a half.
That cat was saying, I'm hungry.
And hiding it from us because she knows that she should be put to death for that. The cat, not you.
Oh.
Well, both.
What?
Well, I go with both.
Yeah.
So we got that coming up. We got Dodger Day tickets coming up. We have Rob Pattinson inspired underwear coming up. And also from the other guys, we have Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. We're going to talk to them today.
So excited about that movie.
So that's pretty cool. We will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
How about the new one from Linkin Park? It is called The Catalyst, and it's coming up on The Kevin Bean Show. That'll be a first dance song at a lot of the gay weddings going on in California here soon. Mm. Also, Bad Religion, Slightly Stupid, and some Bob Marley to get us going on a Thursday. On the way. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of Prop 8 being overturned here in the state of California in gay marriage, and Psycho Mike. And Micah.
Sure. Uh-huh.
I got an email this morning shortly after you guys talked to Mike on the air, and I was touched. Micah says, Ralph, will you be my best man?
Oh, wow. That's nice.
I can only imagine the bachelor party you'd throw. And he's right. I don't know much about gay bachelor parties, but I can only imagine it's a lot easier to bang the strippers at gay bachelor parties than it is in straight bachelor parties. So I think a success would certainly be in the offing.
But I would think that...
I might try a dude. Hell, what the hell? At a bachelor party full of dudes, I might try one. Just see how it goes, you know?
Give it a shot.
I'm open-minded.
Here. Sure.
Somebody like Katy Perry, though, would appeal to everybody, right? You'd get her for a gay bachelor party. She'd go over huge, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just saying, in terms of the kind of entertainment, if you're trying to line up some A-plus entertainment for a gay bachelor party, somebody like Katy Perry, somebody you could enjoy, but I think the gays would also respect.
I think they enjoy her music, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And she's super available for that kind of... gig.
Better than Lady Gaga, which would be another option, which would only please half the audience.
Just the men?
Yeah.
Right.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? I know you guys love the celebrity tweets. Yesterday, you play your game, Conway?
Yes.
Kanye or...
Kanye or Diddy?
Conway or Twitty? Was it Kanye or Diddy? New tweet picked up by the news services today that I thought was pretty spectacular. He's a classy, classy guy. He tweeted yesterday, apparently, that sometimes... I'll close an elevator door when I see someone running towards it because I deserve my own private elevator.
Who says that?
Kanye said in a tweet yesterday. It's a good man. Nice guy.
I do that sometimes.
Yeah, you're a dick.
No, but not just because I want my own, but because there's another elevator coming in 10 seconds.
Not always.
So they always have to run and stop and open the door. I don't care how many people are in the elevator. I go, oh, and I reach down like I'm trying to keep it open.
Oh, you know, that is a dick move.
Oh, I'm going to try and keep it open. Hang on one second. Oh, it's closing. Sorry. But I'm hitting the close button.
What's wrong with Sometimes you? In a busy office building or a hotel, it can be long minutes, 15 minutes before another elevator comes down to the lobby.
What are you going to do?
Not do that what you
let
did.
Let the person on. Yeah. Let the person get in.
Stop. Keep the doors from closing and let them on.
But on the flip side, I will tell you this, that when I'm running up and the doors are closing, I don't try to get on. I let it go because it's annoying.
I do that, too.
I just go, I'll get the next one. So I go both ways.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Hang on.
You are not good.
Just a minute. Oh, hang on. Oh.
You have a ski mask on?
Yeah, right. The ladder on your back. Speaking of people who years of substance abuse has ruined their ability to make good decisions.
Wait, who's speaking of that?
I was about you.
Oh.
Amy Winehouse is in the news.
Yes.
Apparently, Amy has taken another flying leap off the wagon. She hasn't just fallen off.
No. Mm-hmm.
This weekend, the London Sun reports she was severely overserved at a pub and went on a wild tirade where she apparently ran into and then proceeded to force a kiss on Misha Barton.
Okay.
Made an ass of herself in front of Russell Brand's dad, Ron. Narrowly avoided being run over by a cab while crossing the street, and then eventually passed out at an outside table at a restaurant.
Oh, right.
So, just another night in the life of our pal Amy.
She's bad.
Doesn't Dr. Drew have an obligation to get on a plane, go over there and find her and throw her on his back and bring her back to celebrity rehab?
Yeah, like Drew cares about people with substance abuse problems.
I don't think he has the ability to give them a piggyback ride back if they don't want it.
Hit her with a blow dart and then throw her in the back of a van.
Yeah,
he runs celebrity rehab.
Right.
If there's a celebrity out there who so obviously needs rehab, I think it's on Drew to make it happen.
No, there's a morning show in Pacoima that needs to talk to him about Lindsay Lohan, so he couldn't make it. He had to make that appearance on television. Guys hasn't turned down a TV appearance in 20 years. Speaking of the Brits, David Beckham has announced that he has a little trouble living here in Southern California because he yearns for the taste of true English food.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, you know, there's a way to fix that. Go back to effing England. You can sit on a bench there just as easily as you can here, Beckham. He said he's going to open his own traditional British pub. so that he can once again enjoy the flavors of such traditional British foods as meat with brown sauce on it, fish with brown sauce on it, and then some sort of mystery thing with brown sauce on it. Get all those flavors.
You know, Ralph.
Hey, it's Gene Simmons.
Hi,
Gene. What's up, Gene Simmons?
I was thinking of meat with brown sauce on it. Lisa May, I was hoping you could make that for me.
Okay. All right.
Oh. That was nasty,
good
right?
Good morning. Right. How's your breakfast? And while staying in the world of sports and entertainment, Lamar Odom has apparently been working on a brand new fragrance that he's going to release, his signature fragrance.
Oh, no.
He's been working on it along with his wife, Khloe Kardashian.
Glendale.
The scent, they say, is a true team effort between the husband and wife. It'll be a unisex fragrance called Unbreakable. It is set to hit stores on Valentine's Day of next year. No word yet on exactly what it smells like, but insiders say it's reminiscent of burning rubber, clams, and peanut M&Ms. So, if that sounds the least bit attractive to you, maybe you want
to
pick up a bottle of Unbreakable today.
I do not want to smell like he or her. Him or her. I don't want to smell like either of them. It's a bad mixture.
Yes, it is. Today's celebrity birthdays, astronaut Neil Armstrong.
There you go.
He was the first man on the mother effing moon.
There you go.
Bean approves of one of my birthdays. He kicks Buzz Aldrin's ass,
he does,
by the way.
No
crushes. Neil Armstrong, he's such a man that, you know, he was out tending his farm, and apparently some piece of farm equipment got caught on his wedding ring.
Right.
Ripped his finger right off.
Wow.
Ripped his finger off. You know what he did? Ate it. Just kept going. Just kept working. No, I don't know what he did after that, but I just thought that was a tragic story.
It's a good answer, though.
Yeah. He is 80 years old today.
It is interesting to see how what a different career path they went, or a different public image path they went after they came back from the moon, because Buzz Aldrin has done everything all the time, always.
Yes.
Neil Armstrong, complete recluse.
Neil Armstrong won't
do an interview.
Classy gentleman who's
not on Dancing with the Stars, I'll tell you that.
Buzz Aldrin, degenerate sexual molester on Dancing with the Stars.
I'm Buzz. Yeah.
But I mean, Neil Armstrong.
Hottie patootie. Yeah, I'm Buzz. Look at my facelift scar. Isn't that sexy? Yeah.
I just think it's funny that Neil isn't spotted for 10 or 15 years at a time, and Buzz is at every Costco in America signing books. It's weird to see the difference in their lives.
Yeah. Man versus whore. That's the difference.
Good point.
How dare you? For Buzz to die.
How dare you? He's a hero.
He gets hit by a moon rock.
That would be ironic.
It would be.
That's real talk right there, man.
Guitarist Pat Smear from Foo Fighters. He's 51 years old today. Tawny Kitaen.
Yeah.
Turns 49 years old. Adam Yauch of The Bee.
Steve.
Boys. Is 46 years old today. Jonathan Silverman, actor, is 44. And Maddox Jolie Pitt, little Maddox Jolie Pitt, luckiest kid in the world.
Yeah,
9 years old today.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Which one is he?
He's height, right?
He's the first one.
He's the first one?
Think he's still trying to breastfeed?
I would if I was him. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. This is the Kevin Bean Show on a Thursday. Joe Rogan on the program previewing UFC 117 for us. Dr. Drew makes his weekly visit here on a Thursday. And how about the stars of the other guys? How about Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg an hour from right now?
Yes.
On the Kevin Bean Show.
Very cool.
First, though, got to talk about vampires.
American teens are coming down with a serious case of Twilight Fever, transformed from normal children into vampires obsessed with the occult.
Now, all you need to do to sell something is put the word Twilight on it.
Right.
The Twilight fans, the Twitards, will go out and just buy anything. And that's why there are increasingly more and more products that are being tied into Twilight that don't have anything to do with the actors or the movie. For instance, Robert Pattinson underwear.
It's called the R-Pant.
The R-Pant.
Yeah. It's a collection of low-rise briefs and trunks that's meant to be worn under skinny jeans.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wear the skinny jeans, this is supposed to be for you. And it's based around Robert Pattinson, who joins us now in the studio. Hi, Robert.
Hi.
How are you?
Sullen.
Yeah, you are sullen. We haven't talked to you in a while. Is your only friend still your guitar?
That's right. My only friend is my guitar because I just can't develop intimacy with someone because there's so many women constantly trying to have sex with me, tear my clothes off, things like that.
Must be terrible.
It's terrible. Uh-huh. It's really a burden.
Yeah. Now, there's been a tremendous amount of official merchandising. I mean, you have, not that you had any say, but the movie company has made everything from T-shirts to lunch boxes to, you know, everything with your name and likeness on it. But this underwear is outside of that, as I understand it.
That's right. actually am very happy about the underwear being made because I love underwear.
Right.
I'm a big fan. I feel like it's one of the greatest contributions mankind's ever made.
Really?
To the world. I just love underwear.
It's just underwear.
No, but it's so much more than that when you really think about how much it does for us on a day-to-day basis.
Just it really does one thing.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
It's really, that's all it does, it's really right? made our life here on Earth complete, okay. Underwear has.
Right. Wow.
And because my only friend's my guitar, I actually felt motivated to write a song about underwear. Fantastic. And how much it means to me.
Well, this is good because in the article that I read, you're not going to be in the ad campaign, so maybe they can use this song.
You know, it's funny you should say that, Kevin, because I recommend they use this as a jingle.
Okay, good. All right.
And I tapped into my country roots because I'm from
your country,
the south of England.
And that's where all good country music comes
that's
from.
Right.
All
right. So here you go. It's a jingle, a song, a love letter to underwear, my favorite thing in the world.
Rob Pattinson.
I'm Rob Pattinson. Underwear, thank God you're there to wrap around my derriere, to block up all my pubic hair, oh yeah. <It's nice. laughs> Underwear, you're like a hammock wrapped around my...
Yeah.
Underwear, you're like a hammock in between my legs. A nice little mattress for my sausage and my hard-boiled eggs. Underwear inside the house or out there on the town. You're like an eye patch for my eye that's always colored brown. You can wear the white ones, but I recommend the dark. To masquerade your train tracks and your gooey little skid marks.
Oh.
Women wear the panties, yeah, they always hit the spot. Preventing your unwanted beaver shots. Oh. Yeah, underwear, block a fart from the open air. I love you, yes, I love you, my underwear.
That's funny. Wow. It's funny, you have a British accent normally.
Yeah, but...
And then when you sing...
No, it's like...
And so much energy.
It's just like...
goes away.
Billy Joe from Green Day, people think he sings with a British accent. Really, he's from Berkeley. And I talk with a British accent because I'm from Britain, and then I sing with a Southern accent from America. It's crazy like that, but it's just who I am because I'm Southern.
You're definitely sellout. And so now you're going to leave the Caribbean Beach here, just go back to the hotel, just weep, just look at your abs and weep.
And it's sad because I can't go back to my hotel without being mobbed, and it's hard. And I'm staying at the Beverly Hills hotel room.
Oh no! Don't tell people where. No! Don't give out the room information. That's just going to get worse.
And
I
just wish I could be alone for just a moment.
If that's your complaint, why do you always give out the hotel and the room number?
Really, there'll be a lot of hot chicks waiting there for me to have sex with.
Right.
So you see the conundrum I'm in.
That's right.
It's very tough.
All right. Well, I guess that underwear is going to be getting a workout a little bit, so we'll let you go. Thanks, Rob.
Screw you.
All right. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, real quick, if you want to join us Saturday night, we are going to be at Dodger Stadium. It's our annual or almost annual Kevin and Bean Dodger Night. It's going to be a great time. Dodgers versus the Nationals. We have a special section. You can go to kevinandbean.com if you want to buy tickets to join us. I think the tickets are only $12 or something like that. But the deal that we have for you, if you want to call right now at 1-800-520-1067, is a limited edition Kevin and Bean t-shirt, hot dogs, soda, hang out with us, VIP pre-party. Here's the deal. We're looking for hardcore Dodger fans who would like the opportunity to stump Manny Ramirez with Dodger trivia. You know stuff about the Dodgers. Can you stump Manny? You know, he's an expert on the team.
Oh, there's no question he can't answer.
Yeah.
Very tough to get past him. But if you've got a Dodgers trivia question, that is what we're looking for right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls on the air in about 10 minutes.
All right, we have a slight problem here at the radio station, and that is that we have feral cats in the parking lot. And we've had these feral cats for quite some time. We tried to get them. We tried to get somebody to come rescue them, pick them up, mm-hmm. take them away, get them families or whatever. Feral means wild, yeah. And
they don't make good pets.
No, cats don't make good pets. Cats suck, first of all. And I know that that's arguably. I know a lot of people love cats. From my vantage point, death for cats.
That's not extreme.
No, it's not. So, but there are feral cats in the parking lot. So they came and they started to take some away. And then they said, you know what? We can't do that. So let's fix them. We'll fix all
That's
the cats.
That's kind of what they do now is they have a neuter release program because they're not going to find homes for them.
Right.
So they neuter them so that they don't reproduce. And then they put them back where they were.
So then we brought in experts and they said, you know what? Just, you should just stop feeding them and then they'll just go elsewhere. And we said, okay,
yeah,
great.
That seems like the deal because they'll be forced to go elsewhere if there's no food where they're living now.
Right. And then everyone agreed. We were all on the same page and everything went away. And then
Well, I don't know. The last couple of weeks, the cats have been back, and now they're angry. Now the cats are mad. And as you walk in, you know, at 5, what time do I get here? 5:29:30. As you walk in, they're standing right at the front door, and they're screaming at you.
The little black cat has gotten really aggressive and less afraid of people.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I wonder why. Huh.
I yelled at it this morning. I was like, F you! I was mad at the cat. But here's what we found out. Lisa May, for a year and a half, has been feeding them. Secretly. She won't let anyone else catch her because she knows that we'll bust her for it.
Wait.
She's been hiding the food. She's been hiding, putting it in a bowl and everything. She's been feeding these cats for a year and a half.
And watering.
Yep. What do you have, a bag of cat food in your car?
Yeah.
And then on the way in every day, you just put out a little bowl for them?
On my way out, I put a bowl for them and make sure the water is clean. You know, I don't even know how it happened exactly.
I do.
I know that a year and a half ago, I was concerned, as everyone was, about them reproducing. And we found that little baby dead in the parking lot, which is really, in fact, I found it. It was really upsetting.
Yeah.
And so
and you thought, wow, these other cats should get this same life. This is great.
We called rescue groups because the problem was the breeding. And so we had them fixed. So there was a woman who was feeding them occasionally from some rescue group. And you remember Jesus?
Yeah.
He used to work around here. He was helping her.
Right.
And I felt like I should be contributing somehow. So I went to Jesus and I said, look, if you need food, I will buy food. Because I didn't think it was fair that Jesus should be having to buy the food, for God's sakes. Right?
No one should be buying the food. That way they leave.
Here's the key, because I talked to the cat rescue lady, and she said that if we've been feeding them for all this time, mm-hmm. if we stop feeding them, they could starve.
Right. They'll just sit there and go, wow, I'm hungry.
Look, I'm not
but no one's feeding me.
I'm not a cat expert.
I am. Feral cats will go find food.
I'm not a feral cat expert, so I thought that... That's terrible.
Feeding him for a year and a half.
Break my heart. So I offered to help Jesus with the food. Next thing I know, he's given me a key to the gate, to the field, because that's where they're being fed.
Out in the field?
Yes. I trudged into that field almost every day until it burned down, which was what? 8 months ago?
That was me trying to get rid of the feral cats.
So I would go into the field to feed them, but then the field burned down.
Right.
So then they started sleeping under the generator,
right,
which is way closer to the parking lot. So I just started putting food down there. And I thought,
at one point, how did I?
It was never my intention to be the one feeding. I just wanted to help Jesus out, but Jesus is gone, and I don't want them to starve, so I'm feeding
them. Let me weigh in here. First of all, you're practically unmarriable at your age anyway. Now you're turning into a crazy cat lady. How is that going to help you?
Well, they're not in my house.
You're not helped there. They're going to be soon, by the way. That's our plan.
All right.
Well, as far as I can tell, there's only 3 cats now, which is way better than there used to be.
But do we have a security station on the line? Let's talk to Charles or whoever's out there right now, because I've heard that they are pooping around the entryway.
There's all kinds of cat poop all over the
area. It's super unsanitary and unpleasant, that's for sure. So let's find. Oh, geez. Well, what's going on out there now?
Charles, are you okay?
Hello?
Charles?
Hello?
We're looking for Charles. Who's this?
Yeah, he's not here right now.
Who are you?
My name's Maurice.
Maurice? Maurice, are you working the security desk?
No, I ain't working the damn security desk. I'm a damn cat.
Oh, you're the mean one.
You're the black cat?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm a black cat, and I'm proud of it.
Are you the one that yelled at me this morning that
that's
I cursed
right,
at?
That's right, cracker.
Wow.
You gave me that stink eye. Lucky I didn't cut you.
Well, you were yelling at me.
Yeah, well, get used to it.
You used to be so shy, Maurice.
Yeah, I know. But now I'm well fed. I'm feeling stronger. I don't have to hide from the man anymore.
Oh no.
That's right. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Oh, it does sound like you're getting a lot more aggressive if now you've apparently killed Charles and are answering his phone.
I didn't kill Charles. He's just busy right now. Cleaning up my poop.
Yeah.
That's what humans are good for, cleaning my poop.
That's the other problem, is it does seem to be like the cat poop problem is still a huge problem.
It's not a problem for me.
No.
I just poop wherever I want. You got a problem with that?
Well, yes, because then someone has to clean it up.
Well, let's have a conversation about it in the parking lot, you and me.
I'd rather.
That sounds threatening, actually.
Let's do it on the phone.
Yeah, let's do it on the phone. That's what I thought.
I'm just saying.
Maurice, what about Kevin's theory that if Lisa stops feeding you, you and your friends will just go somewhere else to find food?
Maybe not. Maybe we come to your house looking for food. Maybe that's how it happens.
That's fine. Go to Bean's house.
Not Bean's house, your house.
Oh, that's fine. I'll
not taking a damn plane to Seattle.
Hey, listen, I know how to take care of cats. I got no problem with that.
Oh, you and me, we're going to throw down.
Wow, please. Kevin, I would not challenge this cat.
Where's the woman that feeds me?
Me.
Hey, thank you for your kindness, by the way.
You're welcome, Maurice.
But I got a problem. Can we stop with the dry food?
Really?
That tastes like crap.
Now you're being picky about the food?
That's right. I want some fancy feast or some whisker lickens or some kitty caviar, whatever the hell comes in like that tin can.
Lisa?
No.
Just buy it, bitch.
Wow. That's a shakedown.
I'm not going to carry a can opener in my car.
Whatever. Do whatever you need to do, but I want some better food.
Okay.
Why don't you give me some of that tuna you're always carrying on you?
Oh.
I smell it every time you come near me.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. My bad.
No. First, though, let's give away some tickets for Los Doyers. Hit it, Steve. Hey, Manny Ramirez.
Hi, all right. I'm Manny Ramirez, outfielder, Los Angeles Doyer. I love the home run. I love LA so much. Hooray!
Yes, I know you do. I know that you're hurt right now, so you won't be playing when we see your team on Saturday night, but will you be there? Do you actually show up at the games in uniform?
No.
Where are you? What are you doing?
I thought you loved them.
Sometimes Manny Ramirez play Candyland with his cat. My cat's name is Lemon Party.
Okay. No.
1-800-520-1067. Manny, you are an authority on all things blue, so we are going to try to stump Manny with Dodger trivia. Are you ready to play?
Pretty lady.
Yes.
Do you like Mentos?
Mentos?
They're the fresh makers. All right.
Yeah. Are you ready to play the game?
Her hair is the color of an apple.
No.
Not really.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
A green apple.
All right. Let's start with Andy on line three, because I sense that maybe the questions were too difficult for Manny last time we played the game. So let's start off with something super, super easy and see if you can stump Manny. Hi, Andy. You're on the air.
Hello.
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 What city did the Dodgers play for before moving to L.A.?
Biloxi. Okay.
Very easy. What?
Biloxi.
Biloxi, Mississippi?
Hooray. It's my favorite place in Central America. Yep, all right. Who loves ceviche? Manny Ramirez.
Andy, was it Biloxi, Mississippi?
Close, but it was Brooklyn.
Oh, how could you not know that one, Manny? Brooklyn.
It's pretty serious. I mean, that one's an easy one for people who don't even like the Dodgers, for God's
exactly.
sake.
I like your head.
What?
Your head is great.
It's pretty big.
Sometimes Manny Ramirez, his cat, Lemon Party, give him big kiss on his head, and Manny Ramirez, tongue, the cat, hit his face, and I say, wow, it's like sandpaper, so itchy. Hooray.
Andy is going to be joining us Saturday night, Kevin Bean Night at Dodger Stadium. Let's try Gus, another easy one on line seven, calling about a teammate of yours. Gus, hi, you're on with the great Manny Ramirez. Go ahead.
Booyaka. Lisa May, I still marry you.
Oh, thank you.
Wow.
I want to ask him, who was the super handsome first baseman?
Jaimin Hansu. All right, I have a horn. Hooray.
Let him finish the question. Yep. I think it was a Dodger. Does he play for the Dodgers?
Oh, Manny Ramirez have itchy head. That's right. Dreadlock, not a good thing if you like to keep your head nice and clean. Boy, it's itchy, but sometimes Manny shake his head and remind him so happy have hair look like Cheetos. Hooray.
All right, Gus, the first baseman for the Dodgers is not the great actor Jaimin Hansu, I imagine.
No, I was going to say the super handsome first baseman in the 70s and 80s was Steve Garvey.
Oh, you didn't let me finish the question.
You didn't even get a chance
to finish
it.
It wouldn't have made a difference. All right.
All right, Gus, great question. Thank you. We will see you on Saturday night.
Pretty lady, Manny Ramirez was the priest at Steve Garvey wedding.
That's not true.
I don't think that's true at all, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's try Jose. He's on line four. Let's see what Jose's got. By the way, if you don't win tickets, you can buy them through KevinBean.com. Just click on the link in our Dodgers post. You can buy tickets to be in the section with us. I think it's only $12, too. All right, Jose, hi. You're on with Manny Ramirez. Go ahead.
Yeah, who was the last Dodger player to win MVP?
Desmond Tutu.
Desmond Tutu?
He's not a Dodger player at all.
All right.
Jose, is it Desmond?
Long, he home run at Hollywood. Hooray.
All right, is it Desmond Tutu, Jose?
No, it's not. Kirk Gibson.
Kirk Gibson is the answer. He's not dumb.
He's right.
Kirk Gibson don't even play baseball. He make baseball for Manny Ramirez. He's my mechanic. Okay. Good man.
Okay. Right. One more is all we have time for. Let's make it Ramon. He's on line two. And a question that I believe we talked about last time we did this, so you have an actual in to know the answer. Ramon, hi, you're on with Manny Ramirez. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Lisa May, I love you.
Thank you, Manny.
Question goes like this. When did Vince Scully first start working for the Dodgers?
2009.
Hey, that was last year. You know for a fact that he was there before you were, Manny.
What?
He's been there like, I don't know, 40, 50 years.
Oh,
I don't know.
Crazy. Hey, pretty lady.
Yeah.
Just say no.
Okay, no. Ramon, is it 2009? Is that when Vince started calling Dodgers games?
Nope.
1950 is really closer to the answer, right? All right, Ramon, we will see you Saturday night. Thanks, Manny, for coming by.
I still have a condom on.
Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg, join us after the top of the hour talking about the other guys. Ralph, one of your all-time favorite actors, Michael Keaton, makes a return in this film. You know that?
I know that. I saw it in the trailer. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
He needs to work more, Michael Keaton.
I agree.
Where the hell has he been?
Super entertaining.
He did that one lame-ass baseball movie where he's the
it was not a good movie.
Guy in the limo trying to get game through the game.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I'm not a guy who recommends old movies, but if you want to see a funny movie, Mr. Mom is great.
It is a good movie.
Kevin is referring a movie that is not last
the hell?
Week.
Yeah. I know, it's odd, but
any movie he made, by the way, the first 10 movies he made, go see Swing Shift.
Yeah,
not
great.
Swing Shift. Night Shift.
Night Shift, right? Yeah.
A high... Hilarious. Also, even Multiplicity, where he plays the clones of himself. You ever see that movie?
I don't think I saw that.
He's cloned over and over and over again, and each clone gets progressively more dumb. Harold Ramis film. Very, very funny. The Paper, a serious film. Made Clean and Sober, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing dramatic performance from Michael Keaton. I mean, just such a great actor for so many years, and then just, boom, dropped off the face
Gung
of the
Ho was even good.
Yeah. Gung Ho, yeah. About making the cars. Love him. Love Michael Keaton.
So there you go. There's our intensive discussion on Michael Keaton's career.
A guy we're not talking to in the next hour.
Although maybe we should try. Maybe we should try to go after him now that he's got the other guys at theaters. Exactly. It'd be fun to catch up with him. All right. Time for the showbiz beat. First, though, here's Ralph.
Speaking of the other guys, Eva Mendes is in that movie.
Oh.
Ava Mendes. I'm sorry.
Ava
Mendes.
Right.
Yes. She talked to People Magazine about the film, and apparently she almost murdered Will Ferrell in the movie.
On purpose?
No. There was a scene where a fake dagger was to be used, where she lunges at Will, and apparently the props got mixed up on the set, and at the last second, while they were filming the scene, she realized that the fake knife was replaced with a very real knife.
What? Awesome.
Why?
Who could blame
her,
then?
It's a murder plot, you guys.
Well, sometimes being what they'll do is they'll have what they call the hero prop, which looks best on screen and close-ups and stuff. Which will be an actual gun or knife or whatever. And then when they go to utilize it, the action sequence, they will replace it with a rubber knife.
The collapsible one or whatever the gag knife is.
And they keep the prop department usually keeps all the stuff together.
Can you imagine?
And apparently there was a mix-up, and she almost plunged a real knife into Will's chest.
Will Ferrell drops to his knees,
wow.
Bleeding.
That would suck.
Keep rolling. This is good.
I mean, it's not unusual. We've heard horror stories on film sets before about live ammo versus blanks and stuff like that. So this could have been a very unfunny film if it captured the death of Will Ferrell in it.
Will Ferrell's last role.
You want to be the girl who kills Will Ferrell.
No.
You will not work again in this business.
No. Here's the question. Knowing how much we all love Will Ferrell, would you still love Eva Mendes if she was the one who ended up accidentally killing him?
Yep.
Would you be able to look past that?
Does she still look like that?
If she accidentally stabbed me with a real knife, I would still love her.
Okay.
That's how amazing she is. So it was funny, I did the panel in Comic-Con for this film, and they were all there, Mark and Will and Ava, and she was like coming on to every nervous teenage boy that wanted to ask her a question.
Just
driving him crazy. You're cute. Oh, you're so cute. Guys would be like, lose the ability to speak. It was very entertaining to watch.
She's the best. I really like her.
She is a charming, charming woman. Ricky Gervais, another one of our favorites, is in the news. The Simpsons have just announced who will be their guest stars on their upcoming 22nd season of television.
That's crazy.
Ricky will be returning to The Simpsons. He already had done one episode. Now he's going to do a cameo as himself early next year.
Wait, Ricky who? I didn't hear you.
Ricky Gervais.
Gervais, okay.
I didn't hear that part.
Oh, I thought it was a setup for some kind
Ricky
of joke.
Gervais. I did, too. I thought he had some audio.
I didn't hear who you were talking about. So Ricky Gervais, okay, great.
I thought he had a Ricky Martin drop he wanted to put in or something.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Try to pay attention. Daniel Radcliffe, Hugh Laurie.
Daniel who?
Daniel Radcliffe, Hugh Laurie, and Halle Berry also all will be performing in The Simpsons all right. this upcoming season. So, pretty impressive. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Lamar Odom and his wife, Khloe Kardashian, are collaborating on a new fragrance.
Nope.
According to contactmusic.com.
With all these people and their fragrances.
Yeah.
Who buys this stuff?
I've had an ass full of fragrances and clothing lines.
Yeah. I can answer that. Some of the people who are successful with these fragrances make hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, it's crazy.
I think Jennifer Lopez has made more money from her fragrance than she has any other business.
That's why they do it. Because if it's successful, you can just destroy.
But do you want to smell like Lamar Odom?
Not a bit.
No. Or do you want to smell like Khloe Kardashian?
No.
Even less.
That's what I'm saying. Who's picking up bottles of Unbreakable, which will be the name of their unisex cologne, so men or women can wear it.
Great.
Better known as sweat and fat.
Do you think they just got a deal on some Unbreakable plastic bottles and it says Unbreakable on there and they're just going with that because they don't have to make any labels up?
Probably.
Apparently, the scent, no word on officially what it will smell like, but insiders say it is reminiscent of Skittles, hummus, and Fritos.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not a good combination.
I'm not sure.
Depends. Are you hungry? That's not bad.
Sure. That's something I really want to get on board with. Sylvester Stallone talking to a bunch of people, of course, about his upcoming film, The Expendables. Can't wait for this film, by the way. Talking about his lengthy career in show business, interesting piece of trivia, which I had never heard before until this interview with Sylvester Stallone. He actually auditioned for the role of Han Solo back in 1975 for Star Wars.
Really?
Can you imagine?
How different would that have been?
Yeah.
Can you imagine Han Solo as Sylvester Stallone?
No.
Yeah, Jabba. I'll pay you, Jabba. Don't worry about it.
Not you're a rude guy. Same. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners.
Yeah, Darth Vader, you're being rude, Darth Vader. Yeah, you want a lightsaber? You want to fight the fight? You want to fight the rebels? I'll fight the rebels.
Apparently, George Lucas was not impressed with Sylvester's acting skills, and he said he doesn't feel too bad about losing out on the opportunity because he said he probably would have looked silly shooting a ray gun. Running around
in here, there were two guys killing each other.
Yeah,
but I guess that's better than 20 million.
It's true.
Я думаю, что это лучше, чем даже 20 миллионов долларов.
Translate that for you in case you're Russian. Maybe we can pull that out of the clip. We don't need the Russian translation. We don't need that so much.
Don't need Russian
that's
translation.
Mando Calrissian, though. That's his part.
Speaking Sky City language.
Right.
Sylvester has said doctors have warned him. He still likes to do all his own stunts, but his doctor has warned him if he gets one more neck injury, it's potential he may be paralyzed for the rest of his life. He has damaged his neck so often while filming action films that...
And on this one, too. Remember, he got hurt again with his neck.
And this is... They said, that's it. Enough for you. So,
these billboards around town for the Expendables. Sylvester Stallone is about 2 inches shorter than Dolph Lundgren on the billboards.
Yeah, in reality, about 2 feet shorter.
He really is a very short guy. That's the first thing you notice when you see Sylvester.
He's
is like,
why is he a short?
Well, he's like a midget.
Yeah,
he's a fire plug, is what he is.
Yeah, I just laugh because I, you know, remember that image of them, you know, touching gloves in Rocky IV, and Dolph was like a foot and a half taller than him. But on this billboard, they're almost exactly the same height.
Well, Sylvester's a growing boy. He had a growth spurt
and
in the late 90s.
And standing on a ladder.
Today's celebrity birthday is Neil Armstrong. Oh, nothing. Just the first guy to ever walk on the moon. That's all he did.
Real man. That would ruin me.
I think it ruined him.
For the rest of my life, I'd walk around going, first guy on the moon.
I think Neil just sat down in a chair at his house, and he's never moved since.
That's it?
What's that? Oh, what's that? A meteor shower? I was on the moon.
I was on the moon.
Hey, what do you got? Hey, what do you got? Naked women? I was on the moon.
You need groceries? Go get them. I was on the moon.
I was on the moon. Nothing interests me anymore. He's 80 years old. Pat Smear of Foo Fighters is 51. Tawny Katane is 49 years old today. She's lost a little of her.
She's crazy.
You think?
I think. Maybe one bell.
Yeah. Jonathan Silverman, actor, is 44 years old.
Question mark.
Yeah, you never see him.
MCA of B. Boys is 46 years old.
Echo.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Our friend Joe Rogan joins us later. So now we're talking about UFC 117. By the way, Joe, who you know is on the internet all the time and is always finding crazy stuff, he has a story that we have to ask him about a new way that they have figured out a way to read people's minds to determine whether they are going to commit crimes. Not science fiction. Actual truth.
Minority Report.
Yeah.
Just like the Minority. I know. Crazy, right? So that's the type of thing that Joe will tip you off to. So we'll talk to him about that and UFC coming up.
But most of that stuff turned out to be not true.
Right.
What do you mean?
Rogan's shaky when it comes to internet stuff. I mean, he'll find something, he'll go, this is true, man. He's got those eyes, and you go, wow, I believe him. He'll kick my ass if I don't believe him. And
I
then
know.
He leaves, and you go back and look at it. It's just not true.
We'll ask him about it. This is what appears to be true, though, but it's an unbelievable success rate. And they said that this is what they could do to round up people who are involved in terrorist chatter and stuff like that, and then they could bring them in and find out if they're really planning on doing something. Dude, I don't know. I thought it was fascinating.
You try to question him on something like that, and he says,
you're talking out of your ass, dummy.
Well, he does. That is his defense. That's true.
And that
anyway,
works.
Joe Rogan later this hour, and our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky for his Thursday weekly visit to the Kevin and Bean Show is coming up too. Do we have our guest here?
Not quite yet. Oh yeah, we do. As a matter of fact, we do. Just got
Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg. The film is The Other Guys, opening everywhere tomorrow. Looks like the funniest goddamn movie of the year, and it is a delight to welcome both of these guys back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey boys, how are you?
Hey guys. Guys, are you still in San Diego?
Yes. We saw Will a couple of weeks ago down there in the whale's vagina at Comic-Con. Yeah. Had a fantastic time, but no, we're back home now, Will.
Okay. I didn't know if you guys stayed down there.
Mark, I thought you should know that when we were talking to Will last week about this movie, that he said he picked you as a partner because he wanted somebody whose ass he could kick.
Oh. I like that he's talking that mess up when I ain't there.
That's what I'm saying.
He didn't say that in front of me.
He didn't. No. He was like, oh, yeah, Mark, I could take him down in like 5 seconds. Nothing.
You know, Mark, I was just joking around. Yeah, we'll see you tonight in St. Louis.
Yeah. All right, we have to ask you about this because the stories are starting to filter out. Stories from the set, as you guys have been doing interviews around the country for The Other Guys, opening tomorrow. And Ralph on our show was just telling us that Eva Mendez will almost literally stabbed you in the chest while filming this movie. Is that true, or is she exaggerating for effect?
No, that is true. We there is a scene in the film where I have an alter ego called Gator. Turns out I was a pimp in college, but I didn't realize I was actually a pimp. But that will make sense if you see the movie.
Okay, all right.
And we're having a discussion, and we get into this fight, and we didn't really rehearse what the action was going to be. And in the heat of the moment, she grabbed a not a prop knife, but a real knife,
uh-huh.
and tried to stab me. Yes,
dude.
I
don't want to depress you. You're one of my favorite actors of all time, but we did take a vote, and had she killed you, we were still fine with Ava. Sorry, we were still good with her.
Well, if you gotta go,
right?
I mean, that'd be the way to go.
That's how to do it.
Exactly. Right. And Mark, let me ask you this: although you have been doing more comedies in recent years, things like Date Night come to mind. It's got to be crazy on a Will Ferrell set to just get through the take without cracking up every time, right?
Exactly. That was the biggest challenge, day in and day out, was keeping a straight face.
Were there times when you just couldn't? And everybody was like, come on, for God's sakes, Mark, keep it together.
You know what? No, they never really got mad at me because they're all laughing too. But, you know, you have to come up with interesting ways to not laugh. You just don't look at them. You think about something horrible. You know, you got to get creative.
Sure.
We kept a lot of Rottweilers on set.
Is that right?
All good. Good.
Aggressively bark at other actors to keep them tense. Yeah.
And, Will, is it true that you kind of had your eye on Mr. Wahlberg for some time for a role like this? He was somebody that you were kind of thinking, hey, it'd be fun to do a comedy with him?
I've had my eye on Mark, not for movies.
For other reasons.
Yeah. That we can't go into. Adam McKay, who... we did the interview down in San Diego with you guys.
He's the best, by the way.
Hilarious guy.
Great guy. Hilarious. Just one of the brightest comedy minds there is, really. And we'd always just talked about how we were fans of Mark's acting, but that we loved his intensity so much that we thought in the context of what we do, it could come off as really funny.
Well, I have a great scene. We're trying to bring back movie clips on radio, and I have a great scene to play.
Good.
This is of you, Will, and you're trying to read the Miranda rights to somebody, and Mark is not having any of it.
You're under arrest.
Right.
Okay?
What?
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you do or say can be used. What's the next part?
As a flotation device.
As a flotation device. Oh, you know what? That's very funny. I've never Miranda'd anyone before.
Really?
Are you guys for real? Am I being punked?
you know,
that's,
we see
that's Steve Coogan, who's also in the movie. He's hilarious as well.
By the way, that's a great... I'm glad you brought up Steve Coogan because he's always funny. Unbelievable, the cast of guys in this movie. I mean, people like Samuel L. Jackson and The Rock. And we were just talking a minute ago about how... How'd you get Michael Keaton out of retirement to come do this film?
Yeah, we had a pending lawsuit we were able to hold over his head and force him to be in the movie.
Great. So he's not happy to be there, but he's in it.
No. Hated every second of it. Okay. This Mel Gibson type tapes too on Keaton. Right.
Mark, let me ask you this, because we see the billboards all over town with you guys, you know, flying through the air with guns drawn or anything like that. Is there some real life action stuff that you guys had to do that, although, yeah, it's got to be funny on this side, but on the other hand, it's actual real stunt work that you got involved in?
I did. Will did do anything but stand around and watch. Every scene that we had, like 20 guys, and then Will kind of standing there, you know, reacting to it. And what was incredible was we would block something with the stunt guys, or Mark would, and I would watch, and they would explain things. But Mark's like, I've already done this stuff like 20 times. So, and in 2 seconds, just, you know, without even rehearsing, just like perfectly execute all these punches and blows and movement. And it was actually very fitting to our characters.
And were you going through your mind, Will? Were you going through how long that would take you to get?
Oh, completely, yeah. I would have to, you know, rehearse for months at a time just to get a sequence that Mark can do in about, you know, pick it up in 15 minutes.
Now, Will, your character is Alan Gamble, and he is a forensic accountant.
Yes.
That doesn't exist in real life, does it?
There are forensic accountants.
There are.
Believe it or not, yeah, there are people.
Terrible job.
It's a terrible job, but my guy loves it.
Sure, of course.
And, yeah, I feel that paperwork is as a vital part of justice as, you know, as arresting bad guys. So I aggressively love office work.
Now, Mark, don't answer this if it'll spoil anything, but I know that you had an unfortunate run-in with Derek Jeter in the movie. You don't have to tell me what it was, but is Derek in the film?
Yes, and I can tell you, I shot his ass.
Yeah! That's going to make you happy as a Red Sox fan, make all the rest of us happy just as anti-Yankees fans.
Exactly. You know, we just screened the movie in Boston, and when that scene played...
That's the whole reason to do the movie right there, is that you could shoot Derek Jeter. That's awesome.
When they said that that was going to be one of the scenes, I thought that they were joking.
And then, too good to be true.
He actually showed up, and we actually did it. It was a blast.
I can't wait for this movie. It does look so funny. It is called The Other Guys. It opens everywhere in theaters tomorrow with our friend Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg on The Kevin and Bean Show. Guys, thanks for spending some time with us. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having us, guys. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
So we just played 1901, and before that, 1979. I don't know what's going on, but you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Joe Rogan joins us next hour. Hey, why is everybody in here? Why is everybody ganging up? What's going on here? Is this some sort of intervention?
It's an intervention, yes. It's a Twitter intervention.
We all get very strong feelings about this story.
I look up, and everybody who's ever worked on The Kevin and Bean Show is standing in the room looking at me.
Jimmy's here. Money's here. Tad is here. Hey. We're all here.
Mike, the maintenance man. So here's the thing. Bean has taken to Twitter, and Bean does not like people. So this is perfect for him because he can have, quote, relationships with people without ever having to interface with them in person.
Right.
So he sees himself as having a bunch of friends because he Twitters them.
It's like I feel I live in Gotham City sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
Like some of the, for example, he booked William Shatner on our show. He wrote to us one night, and he said, I was direct Twittering William Shatner, and I asked him to come on the show. I hope that's okay. And we all wrote back, we love William Shatner, but we're not all thrilled with the idea of you out there on Twitter, speaking for the whole show. Right. That's probably not a good idea.
But I was just looking out for the program because he had a new show debuting the next night. I thought it'd be great if we could get him on to talk about that. Right. So there's no malice intended there.
Right, but I took a vote in the other room, and I said, of all the people, Ralph and Mike and Lisa and Miss Cleo and Alex and Dave and everybody, Omar, who do you want to speak for the Kevin? If there's one voice
how dare you
to speak for the Kevin and Bean Show, who do you not want it to be?
Yeah. Wouldn't be Bean.
Who is the social face of the Kevin and Bean Show, we thought, interacting with people?
Sal Masekela is one of Bean's really good friends on Twitter.
No, I never said that, but there was, again, a reason to talk to him on the radio. Something had just happened. It was some X Games athlete or something got hurt, and I thought, hey, let's get Sal's take on this. So I tweeted him and said, come on the Kevin and Bean Show and talk about it, and he very graciously agreed to do so. What's wrong with that?
We had the guys from Blink-182 in. And out of the blue, Bean said something about Mark Hoppus having a cold or something,
yeah.
Right? And Mark was looking at me like, What just happened?
Totally confused.
Yeah, he had no idea where that came from. This guy's Bean follows his Twitter.
Here's the creepy stalker line. Here's somebody stepping over it.
Yes.
Yes.
Maria Menounos, remember that?
Yeah. Oh, God. That debacle.
He's good friends with her. Oh.
Stupid ass bitch.
I never said that. I just invited her to come on because, you know, the Celtics-Lakers rivalry.
But there are processes. There are processes in place. First, where we discuss guests, and then Alex, our producer, goes forward and books them. There is a system in place, Bean, that happens how we get people on the show.
And that system is there because we don't want everyone I want on the show. We don't want everyone Bean Ralph wants on the show. And we definitely don't want everyone you want on the show. So we have a voting process.
So let me ask you this, though. Has there ever been somebody that I have gone for on Twitter to ask to come on that you have regretted or have not wanted on the show?
So far, no.
Ever.
So far, I don't know.
The latest scares me.
And the reason I do it, by the way, is because of the timeliness.
Right.
Because by the time the paperwork goes around and Alex gets the email the next day and makes a call and their publisher gets back to us the day after that, sometimes the timeliness will not work in our favor in the event that they have something to promote.
Having Shatner on that very next day, you're right. That absolutely was.
Oh, wait, that didn't happen.
Yeah. I don't like to be tweeted at.
So what happened in that particular case is that we had to put Alex on it, and then she went through the proper channels and got him on the show.
Huh. See, just trying to help.
So here's what happened recently.
Me for trying too hard in my off hours to help the
Kevin
and Bean show.
You give too much.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
you're
too generous.
I'll give you that. You're trying too hard to help the show. I think you should pull it back.
I do too.
So Rachel Nichols is somebody that he unnaturally loves. I mean, she's super hot. Don't get me wrong.
Beautiful, talented actress.
But now, let me just say for folks who maybe don't recognize the name, and you should, you're a bad person if you don't. She is most famous, perhaps, for being Scarlet in the G.I. Joe movie. She is the green alien in the Star Trek movie. I fell in love with her back when she was on Alias for two seasons, playing an agent named Rachel Gibson. I just love her so much. And yes, we do have a Twitter love.
Right, a Twitter love. Right. Yeah, no, he's got a good relationship with her.
We have a Twitter love.
Here's the thing. Here's where it goes from reality right over into fantasy. This is what we're talking about.
This is the trend, and now we're seeing where it's leading to. Yeah. It's this very fact.
But it's not even like endearing fantasy, like Ralph and Batman world. Like it's creepy. Like it's sick.
Of course, it's creepy. It's,
there's nothing
coming
sick
out of
about
me.
It at all.
Yeah.
It's pure
it's
and real.
Twisted
is what
and
it
perverse.
Is.
All right, that's creepy.
It comes from the darkness that is Bean's soul.
Here's the thing that is not real.
Right.
I love too much is what you're telling me.
Because email, if you have a great email, you know, relationship with somebody, you don't really know them. Yeah. That's not a relationship. Twitter even less. So we have Dodger night Saturday night. And Bean, I guess you personally tweet, you can just to that direct tweet.
Yes.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Direct message, right.
Just to her.
Yeah.
Just to Rachel Nichols. And he says, Rachel, we're having Dodger night Saturday night. You should come join us. And he invites her to the Dodger night. Now, she's got to put on the spot because she's super nice.
Yes. Right?
And she's not going to say, no, you're a stalker, leave me alone, even though those are the words that she should say. She
says, that's more than 140 characters, I think.
Oh, yeah, I'll try and make it, she says. And now Bean's all excited, like, oh, my love.
She'll probably be there. And we'll shake a Dodger dog. We'll both take one end and meet in the middle as we eat it.
He was telling
that's
us.
That's not a Dodger dog.
He was telling us that you're going to eat something else that's not a Dodger dog. So Mike, who's just being funny in the studio, he's just throwing it out. Hey, I'm going to hit on her. I'm going to ask her out.
I don't think he was even being that funny, quite frankly.
Maybe, but it doesn't matter. The point
Mike's a good-looking single guy, and she's a good-looking single gal.
The point is that Bean got jealous.
He lost
more
it.
Than that.
Without maybe 2 seconds of me finishing my sentence saying, if she comes, Bean, I'm going to ask her out. He said, no, you're not. That's not good form.
That's not good form.
That's my crush. Stop it.
No, you can't go with my crush. That's my crush.
There's protocol on things like
no,
this.
No, there isn't.
This is bros before hoes is
no,
what this is. And
no.
Psycho Mike ought to say, hey, if the beautiful Rachel Nichols is there, I'll be nice to her and I'll support my man Bean, but I'm certainly not going to try to move
Bean,
in on
it. Here's the thing about bros before hoes. It happens in real life with real people.
This is real life.
If you're not having a relationship in real life with real people, you can't claim bros before hoes.
Right.
And by the way, not to mention, you're married, A, and if you weren't, you wouldn't ask her out!
That's
and more importantly, you're not a bro.
Yes. Another good point.
No one's been less a bro.
You're not a bro.
I think it would be super crappy of Psycho Mike
to ask Rachel Nichols out.
Oh,
because
God.
Isn't
because,
that absurd?
What?
That
I'm just saying.
Weird.
I'd like to not, start by saying
all. Super crappy that you invite her to our event.
Right? Why? What's the downside of her being there besides a great time
no
for
downside.
All, by the way?
There's no downside. There's channels to go through, and that's how everything is done. You go through her publicist. You check her schedule. If she's interested in coming, she comes. You don't direct tweet her.
The assumption of intimacy on your part is awkward.
At best.
No. No.
That wasn't a question.
That's a valid argument.
Ralph didn't put a question mark at the end of that.
No, because we tweet quite often. We have a fairly steady relationship in terms of
not
writing
a
back and forth. In terms of writing back and forth.
She is a super nice person and feels bad.
Very
so
friendly,
she
very nice.
Right, she's very friendly, so she responds to your little 140 character.
I don't think anybody can say they have more than a professional relationship unless both parties have each other's phone numbers.
Yeah, why don't you call her up and invite her?
If both parties have each other's phone numbers, then you can valid. There's validity in your argument that you have a relationship
at the very least.
But especially in 2010, by the way, there are lots of people have online relationships because that's where most communication is done these days. Look, I don't have Petros Papadakis' phone number. Does that mean I shouldn't tweet him or email him? I don't know him. I may have met him one time in my life, but he's been a guest on the show a number of times. What's the difference, though?
But we've had him on the show 40 times.
And we've had Rachel on the show 3 or 4 times, too.
Right, many members of the Kevin and Bean show have Petros' number and vice versa. He has our number. So that, you know,
he's partnered one of our good friends.
For me to ask Petros to come to Dodger Day is totally different than for you to ask Rachel Nichols.
I have his text number. I can text him and ask him, and he would answer me no. He would answer me.
For Ralph to ask Kevin Smith to come to the game. Is totally different than for you to ask because we've elevated that relationship beyond just the internet.
You don't have friends.
Least of all, Rachel Nichols.
First of all, we're very close. And second we have to take a break.
Those of you that have been listening to this, please help us. We're having trouble with
Bean. But I think we're missing even the bigger picture, which is him literally forbidding Mike to ask Rachel Nichols out as if there was some, he's stepping over some imaginary line in Bean's mind.
I can't get to that imaginary line because I'm obsessed with the imaginary line where Bean thinks he's a good friend of hers.
I didn't even say good friend. I just said we have a friendly relationship on Twitter.
So
and
you'll be friends with her while she's dating Psycho Mike if that were to come to pass.
And she would not, if you were to ask her, would not consider it inappropriate for me to have invited her to join us for a public function with a bunch of people on Saturday.
Do you know why? Because she's really, really nice.
Would she consider it inappropriate if you banned a good-looking guy from ever asking her out because of your creepy, weird, stalkerish affection for her?
I'm doing her a favor by steering Psycho Mike away from her.
Come on.
You got to admit, I'm doing her a favor.
Would that wig her out if you forbid somebody from being social with her because of your weird feelings?
That's crossing
the line. Would that seem odd to her, do you think? Let's tweet that to her and see what she comes back with.
You just have such a distorted view of the so-called bro code, as you put it. You know what I'm saying? Like the idea
of course, because listen, Bean doesn't live in real life.
Right.
So he tries to mimic it. He sees other people do bros before hoes, and he goes, hey, I should be a part of that.
Well, she's a hoe, and I'm a bro.
I'm
married to another hoe, but I would like to fantasy sex with this hoe, so maybe the bro can't be with the hoe.
Right. Help us out. 1-800-520-1067.
What's up, homie?
We need to know. We need some help, because we're having trouble convincing Bean that things are not right. They just aren't right. Help us.
What's happening here is you hate true love. You hate to see how happy Rachel and
I
are. That's what's going on here.
That's it. So call if you can help with that.
You don't know, man.
We know. That's the problem. We do know.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Those of you just joining us, here's what's going on. The guys hate true love, and they're trying to stand in the way of Rachel Nichols and me being together.
Describe together.
Look, in all seriousness, and then we'll get right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I'm not claiming to have a romantic relationship. Rachel's a friend of the show. She's been on the show a bunch of times. We tried to help her find the guy that broke into her car. Remember that time? I think we have a good relationship with her. It's a public Kevin and Bean event. She's in town.
Right.
I thought she might have a good time coming out and
so
enjoying an evening with us at the ballpark.
So you had Alex contact them and offer the invitation?
Well, no, that would be a waste of Alex's time. I mean, we're not talking about booking her as a guest on the
show.
We're not worried about Alex's time.
We're worried about you being our spokesperson.
So I tweeted her and I said, hey, we're doing Dodger night. If you're in town, you want to come on by.
What could be more fun than sitting with a bunch of sweaty radio listeners in the cheap seats
It's not like I'm trying to – it's not like I'm asking her out on a date is what I'm saying. I mean, asking her to do a public Kevin and Bean function where I think she would have a good time because she's a cool chick. Right. That's all that's going on.
And
here.
Here's our problem.
We have lots of cool chicks on the show, by the way. Tons of listeners, tons of guests that have been on by, frankly, many more times than Rachel Nichols. Did you invite anybody else of our regular guests to come to the baseball game?
Not really, because I don't really have that kind of relationship with
you
those other people.
You don't have one with her either!
But the kind of relationship I'm referring to, I absolutely do have, which is a friendly internet relationship.
All right, so there's two
which
problems.
Which is a 21st century friendship, by
there's
the way.
There's two problems. Shut up. There's two problems that we need your help with. One is, Bean thinks he has an actual relationship because he's on Twitter.
Right.
Two is, if she shows up and Mike asks her out, Bean says Mike's stepping over the line. That's
I have a much bigger problem with that.
That's out of that.
We forebode that. Forbade that.
You can't do that. That's my crush.
Let's try JD on line four. We're only going to have time for a couple of calls, unfortunately, but thank you for dialing in and waiting on hold. JD, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Psycho Mike, you need to respect the bro code, sir.
How does
I think
it
I am.
With a married guy?
You don't
guy?
Know what the bro code is then, if you think
well,
that.
Married ain't nothing but a paper.
But how does the bro code actually affect this particular.
Okay, it's like in high school, if Bean and Mike were there, and Bean
right,
was like,
right.
hey, you know, I really like this girl.
Can I
hey,
stop you right there?
Like
can I stop then, you right there? Can I stop you right there? It's like okay. If Bean and Mike were both there. Yeah, that's not the case.
No.
It's nothing like
it's nothing
school.
Like that at all, because Bean's
not
a grown
anywhere.
Man with a family who's married.
Like, and well, yeah, what if Bean went to a different high school in a different state and was married while he was in high school
not
and
even
barely knew the other person
not
in
even
that
a
school.
Different high school. What if he was homeschooled? I mean, he's not even in the normal society. So
guys,
I reject
when,
you totally.
When Psycho, thank you for the call, Jenny. When Psycho Mike comes in on a Monday and tells me the vile things that he did to Rachel, it would hurt me. I'm saying she deserves better, and it
and
would hurt me to hear about that.
And you're a dumbass if that's the case. Let's go to Brian. I think he's got your back. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Okay, well, basically, I want to know what kind of bro code Bean is talking about, because, like you guys said, he is married. So what would be the problem with Mike, you know, just saying hi to her?
Oh, there's another. He absolutely.
Nope.
Everybody should say hi and be very friendly.
Let me rephrase the question. What's the problem with Mike asking her out?
Yeah.
That's problem with Mike driving her like a cheap rental car?
It would hurt. It would hurt too much.
Why would it hurt you? You have no connection with her in that way. You have no romantic relationship with her. Bean, it's just a friendly internet relationship. So why wouldn't you want her to be happy with a man?
21st century relationship.
It's a 21st century friendship. You just have a 21st century friendship. So it's not romantic. So why would it hurt you, Bean?
How could I explain that? It just would. It would just. It would hurt to think of. It would hurt to think of Mike with my lady. That's
yeah, well,
all.
She's
not your lady. She isn't your lady.
God damn you to hell.
Well, we haven't. Thank you very much for the call. We haven't heard back from Miss Nichols yet, but I'm hoping that this conversation doesn't get to
her. One more, Linda. Hi, okay. Linda.
Good morning.
Hi. What do you think?
Well. If she didn't think you were a stalker before, Bean, she definitely thinks you're a stalker now.
How am I a stalker by inviting her to a public Kevin and Bean event?
Because you
How is that
Twitter,
stalkerish?
Because you think Twitter is a real relationship.
Why is it stalker? Because I call her my lady and we have true love. Why would she think I'm a stalker? Because I imagine a love that doesn't exist. Why is that stalkerish?
She won't even know about the duct tape and the chloroform because it's going to be in my trunk at the time anyway. So
we are sending her this air check. I promise you she will hear
this. We're going to go through proper channels and we're going to make sure that we uninvite her.
For her own safety. And I think Bean's wife should also get a copy of this air check.
I don't think that's necessary.
We'll send it to both. Thank you, Linda, for your call.
Garman!
Time for Ralph Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Woo! Partey. Avenged Sevenfold has ended Eminem's 5-week reign at the top of the Billboard 200 albums chart. Congratulations to those guys. They debut at number one with Nightmare, their new CD. Brought in over 160,000 copies for that week. So congratulations to Avenged Sevenfold. Anyone?
Psycho Mike was with them in the room the other night when they found out that they hit number one on the Billboard chart on Loveline.
Ooh!
Yeah. Kind of weird. They must have been freaked out, huh?
It was. It was a
they
real...
give you a hug?
No. But it was a very cool moment to be a part of. I mean, you think about where that band has come from, and to be the number one, have the number one album in the country. It's amazing.
Was Bean jealous because you were there with them?
Yeah.
They're my true love band. Speaking of music and Psycho Mike, Jared Leto of 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh! Just heard from him.
Rich Blake, 30 seconds.
That was exactly the song we just
heard. Thank God. I thought he tweeted you.
Me too.
Ralph the second there, I thought Jared Leto just tweeted him.
Ralph and I were booking airfare to Seattle right that second.
He's speaking out about the Kings of Leon debacle when they walked off stage because of all the pigeon poop.
Right.
Jared says he is much more committed to his art than that. If he had been on stage, he said, it would have taken a 400-pound gorilla doing much worse than that to make him leave the stage. I guess if a gorilla poops on your head, you would have to leave the stage.
But what a show.
That would be pyrotechnics beyond belief. So Jared calling out Kings of Leon for their choice there.
It was an odd choice.
MTV is premiering music videos again. I know it's odd for that particular network.
You mean MTV too?
I wouldn't even think to go there to see a music video.
Today you'll be able to see some of Kanye West's new video for his single Power. Kanye says it's not a traditional video, however. He calls it a painting.
It's a painting.
It's a painting. Okay. Except that it's not on canvas. Or
it's not painted.
Right.
Well, maybe,
and
maybe
the
they painted
it's a
it.
Video.
Maybe they painted it. Maybe that's
no.
The...
It's a video.
It's a video.
It's just
okay.
A video. Yeah.
Boy, is that a great song, though, right?
Yeah. Kanye, by the way, tweeted recently that when he sees someone running towards an elevator that he's in, he will close the doors because he deserves his own private elevator. He feels
what an a-hole.
Yeah.
Who would do that,
Kevin? And Enrique Iglesias. You can say what you want about him.
Mole, mole, mole.
But he's a man of his word. Remember he said regarding the World Cup that if Spain won, he would get naked and water ski in Miami?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That's right.
He did it.
They won. So he... Wait, didn't the police threaten him?
They said it's illegal, and if you do it, you will be arrested. But he broke out the water skis, and he dropped his kit, and he was out there on the water. And TMZ's got the footage if you want it.
What?
It's pretty grainy, and it's shaky, and it's dark, but it is a naked Enrique shredding the coast of Miami on his water skis. And he's a man of his word.
Pays his bets. How about that?
He does. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Jonathan Silverman, actor, is 44 years old today.
Asshole.
Oh, come on. Wow. Weekend at Bernie's? Classic.
I just thought it was funny because I don't really care either way.
Adam Yauch, MCA of the B.
Steve.
Boys.
God damn it.
46 years old today. Tawny Catane is 49. Pat Smear, Foo Fighters, is 51. And Neil Armstrong.
One small step for mankind, one giant leap for mankind.
Something like
Christ.
That.
Wait, what was that? What was I supposed to say?
You know, he actually jacked up the saying when he lied on the moon. He said it wrong.
What was he supposed to say?
He was supposed to say, one small step for a man, meaning himself, one giant leap for mankind. Instead, he said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Man and mankind in that sentence really are pretty much the same thing. So he jacked it all up. Asshole. Nice work, dick.
Asshole.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got a fresh new batch of videos for the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup coming up for you in about 10 minutes. Plus, Joe Rogan joins us later in the hour. I always look forward to Thursdays on our show because we catch up with our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky from The Love Line, who joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Doc, how are you? Didn't get a chance to click on the link yesterday, but I know there were a lot of reposts about something that you wrote about the California decision to overturn Prop 8. So I thought, hey, I'm going to talk to Dr. Drew anyway. I'll just ask him what the hell he was talking about.
Well, it was something I thought you'd like, Bean. It's a little bit nerdy, so I don't want to waste too much time for our your listeners. But I was just talking about the fact that the referendum system has really created a new sort of means whereby the tyranny of the majority can act itself out. In other words, why is a majority tyranny any different than a tyranny of, a despot? And I think we've got that here, where one majority can take away the civil rights of a minority in spite of a concerted opinion of one arm of the government. That's it.
That's it.
As I think about that, so you're talking about, and again, I apologize, I didn't see your article. You're talking about if you had gone to America in 1965 and said, what does the majority think about blacks being able to vote or whatever it is that they were, you know, asked for? They would have said no at that time, and clearly that was the wrong decision, even though it was a majority view.
Well, how about 1850? We're settling Kansas. Does the majority want to have slavery or not? Can you decide that kind of thing? No, it's ridiculous.
I don't mean to be the dumb one here, but isn't democracy... majority rules?
No, we're a republic. Democracy is something that has never worked. A true democracy has never worked throughout human history, which is why we're a republic and not a direct democracy. But this one little vestige of direct democracy is now running amok. And I would say tell people don't focus on whether you believe homosexuals and gays should have marriages or what it means or what marriage means. what does it mean that a system is in place whereby a group of people can say, hey, I can take anything I want to away from you just by voting for it?
Interesting. All right, well, I'll definitely go back and check out that article. Thanks, Dr. Drew. Here's what I wanted to ask you about in addition to that. Now, I know you cannot comment on the work that is being done on Celebrity Rehab until it's on the air.
We finished.
Okay.
Fantastic. So, what happens?
I can't tell you, but we graduated. I mean, they're really doing well, I can tell you that.
But here's what I wanted to ask you about that I know will resonate very deeply with Kevin and me listeners, is that Eric Roberts has been on the red carpet this week for the Expendables movie that he's one of the stars of. He says it's the first time he's ever done a red carpet premiere where he wasn't stoned. He came to you because he was addicted, he said, to marijuana. We don't often hear addiction and marijuana in the same sentence. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, people want to argue about, oh, my God, marijuana is not addictive. Look, the marijuana that people are using and smoking and being prescribed, for that matter, today is so much more powerful than anything people were being exposed to in the 70s that it is profoundly addictive. In fact, it's one of the most common addictions I treat, and it's one of the most difficult to treat. People love that drug when they're addicted to it, and it is exceedingly difficult to give up. It has a horrible withdrawal syndrome associated with
it. Is it really? And that's so shocking to me.
When people are addicted to alcohol, cocaine, and pot, the one they have the most difficulty giving up is the pot. And then, of course, the culture tells them it's no big deal, you can maintain on it, but you can't. And it's so interesting to watch people's lives just shrink when they get addicted to it. They just end up on the couch. And so if you think it doesn't have an effect, it's subtle and it's pernicious and it takes time, but boy, it does, and it's hard to treat.
Hang on, look up pernicious.
What about all of the guys that we're friends with on this show and you as well on Loveline, guys like Kevin Smith, guys like Joe Rogan, who are very outspoken about all the pot that they smoke, yet have very successful, active lives and relationships?
Everybody knows. Somebody like that, and here's the thing about cannabis addiction. It always runs the same course, and here's the course. It happens fast. In other words, it's not a slowly addictive drug. You need some kind of priming, so it's usually the third to fifth time you're exposed to it, though some people it's the first. And then you smoke and you go, oh my God, I love this stuff. This is the greatest thing ever. And that's all you think about, and you pursue it every single day from that day on.
But isn't there a difference between I love it and my body requires it so much that
they
if I don't
withdrawal, they have withdrawal. But listen to this, here's how it goes. So they use it. They're okay. They're fine. They're using it, and then all of a sudden, somewhere down the line, and that may be way down the line, or maybe a year down the line, doesn't work so well, and they start getting kind of depressed and irritable. So they smoke a lot more pot to kind of get their lover back in action, and then they actually rapidly decline into depression, irritability, paranoia, and the pot doesn't work at all. And that's when they switch to something else or come to help. In fact, most methamphetamine addicts start as a cannabis addict, at least in my world.
What?
And sometimes...
Wait, you smoke weed, and then you feel all laid back and nice.
Yeah,
and
meth
then
is the exact...
All of a sudden you go to meth?
Meth corrects the depression that the cannabis causes down the road. And so it's sometimes it's 30 years down the road. And so I don't give a crap. People can get high. I don't care. But I don't want to bum anybody's high.
Bumming our high right now, I'll tell you that. Right this second.
That down the road, the house of cards is going to fall. And if it takes a long, long time, it's just a shrinking of people's life. They just slowly, slowly lose things. If you look at the arc of their life, they just become more narrower and narrower and narrower. But that's not the big issue. The big issue is things all of a sudden really fall apart, and that's when we get them for treatment.
Look, you're the smartest man in the world, Dr. Drew, and I don't want to disagree with what you say, but it seems like there are lots of exceptions to this rule. Aren't there millions of people who have been casual users of marijuana, sometimes for decades, and they would point to no negative reaction in their lives because of it?
I wasn't talking about that. That's for sure true. Same with wine or alcohol. And then you can point to the people that have a problem.
I'd like to say this. Dr. Drew is the smartest man we know. And you're wrong. Now, let's talk about Loveline, and let's talk about the fact that you're arm wrestling people. What's going on with you?
Well, first of all, guess who put me up to that?
I wonder if that could be Psycho Mike.
Number two, I haven't arm wrestled since I was about 14.
Right, so that's why it was odd that you were arm wrestling the whole band.
I was quickly beaten. I'd forgotten how it works. Just boom, I practically broke my wrist. And Mike couldn't watch it. Ask him why.
Why couldn't you watch it?
I was in a bar one time where they were having macho guy arm wrestling competitions, forearm went right, the bone went right through his skin, just snapped off like a car accident. And since then, I can't, even the thought of arm wrestling creeps me out.
But I like the fact that it creeps you out that much, and yet you push Dr. Drew to do it.
M. Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold was in there and challenging Dr. Drew, and Drew looks at me like, come on, support me, I really don't want to do this. I was like, you bitch, come on, pussy, Drew.
We are talking to Dr. Drew Pinsky on the Kevin and Bean Show, his weekly Thursday visit. I have to ask you one more question, Doctor, and that is, and I don't think we ever heard the answer to this, when you had Eric in, the guy with the full female genitalia and the full male genitalia on Loveline the other night, did you ever find out if, A, he can F himself, and, B, if he can get himself pregnant?
Of course, Mike asked both those questions.
Right.
Let's be clear. He's basically a conjoined twin that didn't separate. That's basically what he is.
Oh. And
that's how he ended up with this mosaic system.
And so funny how different Mike describes it.
And yet, in his brain, he has both male and female effects, which is interesting. He can tell us about how he likes flowers, and yet he drives a truck. It's fascinating.
Here's what's more fascinating is the noise that you made in the middle of that interview that we repeatedly played that went like this.
That was you.
So was he able to have sex with himself, and could he get himself pregnant?
He, of course. Mike, didn't he say he tried, but he couldn't pull that off?
He said he didn't try, which is a lie.
He said that he can, but he doesn't. He hasn't tried. He said he could if he wanted to, but he didn't try.
I think Mike enjoyed most the fact of how he described the differences in the orgasmic function of the different systems.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
And then you could do them both at the same time?
Had he tried that, Mike? Yeah, he tried that one.
That he admitted to trying, where he had masturbated both areas.
And could he do
okay.
that?
Medically, though, could he, if he has a working penis and a working vagina, should he be able to impregnate himself? And what kind of baby would that be, Doctor?
That would be...
It'd be a clone.
It'd be a clone, right? Exactly. It'd be a clone. But I don't understand. It's interesting. Would there be an added risk of birth defect or a reduced risk?
Of course.
Risk?
I don't know.
But it's a perfect clone. I don't know.
Yeah. Dr. Drew, would it be any different than identical male-female twins having a baby?
Yes.
Yes, because it's the same person and they're not.
Yeah, I'd have to think about it. Somewhere there's an obvious answer, and it's early in the morning.
It's going to be a clone with two heads. That's the answer.
Can you be smarter than the fifth grade the other day? And that TV show, this feels like that again. I blew that, too.
Yeah.
Well, I think there needs to be more research done on Erica, because that's one of the most fascinating things I've ever heard in my life.
You've got to meet him, too. I mean,
I'd love to.
He walked in, and we thought, who is this guy cruising around the studio? Because he seemed very nondescript, and he did not seem like a female.
Fascinating.
Wow.
All right, you can catch Dr. Drew everywhere, all the time, always, including War and the Ape, Monday nights at 10:30 on MTV. 16 and Pregnant, you can see at MTV.com, Sober House, Celebrity Rehab, and on every TV show all the time. Dr. Drew, thanks for being on the Kevin Bean Show. We appreciate it, man.
Read the blog, Bean. I appreciate it.
I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Joe Rogan in minutes previewing UFC 117 and apparently an off the schedule UFC fight that happened in a bar over the weekend. We got to talk about that too. All of the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First though, time for the Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Live so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
So we put a link up of all of our favorite videos. Some of them have audio and some don't. The ones that don't have audio, of course, we can't highlight here, but I will tell you about them. One is the Inception ending, extended. And this is very funny because if you've seen Inception, at the end, it's one of those endings where you go,
I just had this discussion yesterday.
Show me five more seconds because...
Exactly.
Well, this is really funny.
Okay.
Because it's the extended version of this, and it goes back and forth and back and forth, and you hear the crowd going, yeah! Oh, yeah! It's very funny. You should watch that. Toy Story 3 Inception mashup trailer is funny.
Oh, my God. All right.
Uganda's first action movie trailer is funny. Don't know if it's true or not. Explosive interview with Sly Stallone on Expendables is funny. But some of the ones that we have audio from, Why You Shouldn't Dance in Traffic, is... I hope the dude's all right, but there's nothing funnier than people falling to me. But this guy is dancing in the middle of the street.
Mm-hmm. And why, though? I mean, it's not an accident. He literally basically dances down a side street out onto a main street where cars are whizzing by and just keeps going.
I'm not sure he's all there.
Okay.
But I do know after the ice cream truck runs him down that he's not all there.
Yeah.
So you hear a little bit of the dancing, and then you hear the person who's videotaping it.
Oh,
yeah, he sure gets hit by an ice cream truck.
He gets hit.
He sure is asking for it out in the middle of the street.
Yeah, I mean, come on. If that guy's a friend, put down the videotape and say, hey, get out of the street.
That's the other thing I was thinking is why just follow this dude up and down the street with a video camera instead of maybe shouting out to him, hey, bad move.
JWoww is in Maxim.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So they did a video shoot. Sometimes they do video of the photo shoot,
right.
And they interview her.
I use the extra W and JWoww for like
double the pleasure, double the fun, like my boobs. So double the W's.
Double the W's because of her boobs.
Huh. I want to look at that, but I can't support anything Jersey Shore related. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to pass on JWoww.
But don't be stained by the idea of Snooki. She's much hotter than
Sadie. Oh, okay. She is. But yeah. Did you hear what she just said?
Of course, she's an idiot. Of course. Eva Mendes has a sex tape out.
Oh, my God.
And yes. We were so excited about that until we saw this on Funny or Die.
My sex tape is safe to use on poles, pipes, rods, rims, bottoms, tops, in the back, in the front, upside down, on a boat, in a tree, with toys, in Mexico, covered in champagne, and on untreated naked wood. And of course, our most popular demand, it'll work in the dark, in my bedroom, with two dudes, for at least 20 minutes.
Okay, so let's see that part.
Yeah.
What about
all
that
sounds
part?
Great until you find out that her sex tape is duct tape, basically.
Yeah. So I'm going to play you three clips, and then I'm going to play you kind of the mixture, and you have to see the mixture of the three. The first one is the happiest DJ in the world. This is an old dude, and man, is he fist pumping, and man, is he excited, and he's just ridiculously happy.
He's jumping around like a crazy man, right?
So we featured that one before, and then we also featured the next one, which is the worst wedding DJ, and for some reason this guy is at a wedding, and there's a woman standing on the side, which we believe is his wife, we don't know, and he's playing a song, and he walks over and he starts playing the drums on her boobs.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's really weird.
Okay.
She's just standing there. He's like using them for like tom-toms, like hitting them on the sides.
Maybe he does that all the time.
It's the strangest thing you'll ever see. And then there's the best cry from Intervention. And it's a soul-crushing, sad, sad, sad scene. Aww. But makes for a really funny video. And the dude starts crying and somebody put it to the auto-tune.
Somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
This guy's crying. I love him so much.
Okay, so now somebody took all three of those and put them together. So you've got the crazy happy DJ, you've got the DJ playing bongos on his wife's boobs, and then you've got the last guy, the best cry from Intervention, and they're all put together in one video, and you have to see them. Hey, hey. This is one of those where you watch and you go, wow.
That's pretty amazing.
Somebody really talented did that.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a mashup. Yeah.
And then there's our new favorite, Antoine Dodson, who he's the dude that came to his sister's rescue when she was getting raped. We were talking to the other day.
Oh, Antoine.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're stupid. You're so stupid. That guy. Here's a little bit of the original.
Well, obviously, we have a rapist in Lincoln Park. He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
The attacker got loose and went out the upstairs window, but he did leave something behind.
We got your T-shirt. You done left fingerprints and all. You are so dumb.
Nothing is good until auto-tune is added to it.
Well, obviously, we have a rapist in Lincoln Park. He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, because they're raping everybody out here. We got your T-shirt and the left fingerprints, and all. You are so dumb. You are really dumb, for real.
The man got away, leaving behind evidence. I was attacked by some idiot in the project.
So dumb, so dumb, so dumb, so dumb. He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, because they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess. We're looking for you. We gon' find you. We gon' find you. So you can run and tell that. Run and tell that. Run and tell that.
It's the best. Oh boy, oh. So much better than anything Kesha has ever done.
Oh, that's so very, 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 very true. So go to kevinandbean.com for the Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Here's why Joe Rogan is the man. Because if we go more than 2 weeks without talking to him, we're just backed up with stuff we got to talk to him about. So every once in a while, we try to get him on the phone. And I know, Joe, you're coming in next week to talk stand-up, too. So we'll save some of it for then. But how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello. Somebody's happy about Prop 8 being overturned.
I'm always excited to talk to you guys.
Well, listen, when you come in next week, we have to talk about the mind-reading scientists, but we don't have time for that today. But don't let me forget. I want to get into that next Thursday when you're here.
I won't forget.
Because that's unbelievable. All right. Two items on the docket, and thank you so much for squeezing us in. We had to talk to you because there's so much buzz. It's unbelievable how UFC has so many great fighters that you can't wait to see. And the cards that they put together are amazing. But there's so much buzz on UFC 117 this week, and we wanted to get your take on it heading into the weekend.
Well, it's an awesome card. There's so many good fights on the card. There's the Chael Sonnen facing Anderson Silva, which, of course, is really big because of all the trash that Chael Sonnen's been talking. That's an interesting one.
Now, let me just ask you a question right there. After the last Anderson Silva fight, I swore to myself I would never spend another penny on a pay-per-view that he fought in, because he was a dick.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, but is he going to get beat? If he gets beat, then I'm in.
He's not a dick.
He's a dick.
What happened was, in that last fight, I don't know what Damian Maia had said to him, but he said something about him, respecting him as a fighter, but not as a man. I don't know what their deal is. But there was like some real emotions between those two, and Anderson went crazy. He attacked him for the first three rounds, and then completely ran out of gas, it seemed like, and then just started kind of running away.
He was kind of taunting and running away. He was being a dick. He really was. Maybe there were reasons for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there was also the factor that they were fighting in Abu Dhabi outside at night, and I think he got tired. I think that's the reason why he didn't try to finish him off in the fourth and fifth round. I think he ran out of gas.
Will he get beaten?
It's very possible. I mean, no one can ever tell, and that's one of the things that makes his sport so exciting. But if you look at what Chael Sonnen has done, his past two opponents, Nate Marquardt is one of the very best in the world, and Chael Sonnen ragdolled him. That was very, very impressive. And before that, Yushin Okami, another guy, really difficult guy to beat, makes everybody look bad. And again, Chael Sonnen ragdolled him, just beat his ass for three rounds. He's got the exact style. If you were looking for the perfect style to beat an Anderson Silva, you would want a guy who's an elite wrestler with a power double, a guy who's got great endurance, a guy who's tough, who can take it, a guy who's fought a bunch of tough guys before, and then that's Sonnen. Sonnen is like one of the perfect guys for
that. Is he perfect for keeping Anderson Silva from just dancing around and not fighting?
Yes, he's perfect for. He'll make Anderson Silva fight. The big question is, will Anderson Silva be able to catch him and knock him out as he's trying to take him down? Because he's going to come at him. He's not going to dance around him. It's not going to be the same kind of fight. He's a guy that gets right in your face from the moment the first bell rings, and he's not going to give Anderson a chance to run away like that.
That's good. Now I'm perplexed. I don't know what to do.
It's going
to
be a great fight either way, but it's possible that Anderson knocks him out, or it's possible that Chael Sonnen gets a hold of him and beats him up. You never know. It's interesting. It's intriguing.
We are talking about UFC 117 with our friend Joe Rogan, by the way. That's going to be this Saturday night on pay-per-view at 7 West Coast time from Oakland. Now, you mentioned it's a great card. There's almost kind of a co-main event this time around with Matt Hughes fighting, too.
Matt Hughes is fighting Ricardo Almeida. That's a great fight. And John Fitch is fighting Thiago Alves in a rematch for the number one contender position. And, those two fights are both awesome. And Junior Dos Santos, who's fighting Roy Nelson for the number one contender position in the heavyweight division. So there's a bunch of great fights on that card. I love this card.
Let's talk about one that's not on pay-per-view. In fact, it wasn't even a sanctioned event. it happened in a bar. Tell us about this video that's making the rounds, Joe.
Roger Huerta was outside a bar in Austin, Texas at 2 o'clock in the morning when this big muscle-bound dude comes up and sucker punches a girl from behind.
And those of you that don't understand sucker punch, that means she's looking the other way and he comes up behind her. She doesn't even see it coming.
Wow.
And he's a big guy.
Yeah. And drops her.
Yeah, right, he punches her in the head, she falls to the ground, and then you see Roger Huerta go, "Hey, man, you just hit a girl." And Roger Huerta, if you haven't seen him, is a beautiful man.
I mean, he is
a very handsome man. And he looks like a model. There's no way you would think this guy is not just like a highly trained ass kicker, but one who came from an incredibly abusive family and has this thing about anybody hitting anybody and bullying people.
And he's also, I don't know, half the size of the guy who sucker punched a girl.
So he gets in this guy's face, and the next thing you know, Roger's got his shirt off, and he's chasing this guy. It's really bad camera work, and it's like a cell phone. If it was a viral video, God, it was brilliant. It's the greatest viral video of all time.
Yeah.
If they faked the whole thing, I mean, it would be incredible. Because it's like karmic justice served inside of 5 seconds. This big guy's down, and Roger Huerta is beating the crap out of him. But I can't tell from the video if that's the same guy on the ground, and it might not be. It's hard to tell. There's a bunch of other guys there. It could be that a guy other than the guy that punched the girl got in Roger's face, and Roger beat that guy up. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, whoever got in Roger's face should not have done that.
Yeah, right. Somebody made a no-no.
He doesn't fight anymore, though. He's no longer in the UFC. Is that right, Joe?
He's fighting for Bellator. I mean, he's still fighting. He's still in shape. He's
okay.
Training. He had some sort of a contract thing with the UFC, said some dumb things. A lot of guys, like, you know, they start getting a little bit of attention, and they, you know, have a bunch of people in their ear going, you're getting screwed, you're not getting enough money, and this and that, and this. And next thing you know, they start talking about these things, and then the UFC says, oh, okay, why don't you go fight somewhere else for a little while?
And see what it's like to not be on the UFC, right.
And then they're like, oh, I'm only famous because of you guys. Oh, now I get it.
Let me ask you this, because we used to hear, and I don't know how much truth there was to it, but we used to hear that there were certain boxers, for instance, that weren't allowed to get into a bar fight because if they did, they were charged with fighting with a deadly weapon or something like that. Is there anything any truth to that? Are these UFC guys, are they held to a different standard legally because of what they do for a living if they get involved in a civilian fight?
That is a very good question. And I always used to hear that about karate, and then I heard it from a friend of mine who was a cop that it was BS. But I've heard it from fighters that the judges, like guys who are legit fighters, that judges have actually charged them with assault with a deadly weapon because they're trained.
Yeah.
I believe Mayhem got charged with that because he's trained. And I don't think it's BS. I think they assume that if you have a very high level of fighting skill, like a professional fighter, you're supposed to have more self-control, which sucks because what's the point in getting good at fighting? A-hole's ass in a parking lot.
Well,
you know,
in that particular occasion, if you see the sucker punch, you go, I hope somebody, you know, beats the crap out of that guy. I
mean, exactly. So, you got to defend the woman.
The perfect ending to such a short viral video. It really represents what we like to see. And, like, you know, we have no attention span, so it's very quick, you know, and we love to see that kind of karma.
All in 30 seconds.
Joe Rogan is going to be in studio with us 1 week from today. We'll have a chance to talk about a bunch more stuff. Don't miss UFC 117 on pay-per-view from Oakland this coming Saturday night. And Joe's back with UFC Ultimate Insider, too. Go to UFC.com for details. Joe, always a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you next week, dude.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man.
Hills Craft Farm with the Showbiz Bingo.
What? So anyway, A-Rod says, whoever catches my 600th home run ball, I'll take you to dinner with me and Cameron Diaz in exchange for the ball. To which I would say, F you, right. I'm eBaying this bitch.
Right, I'd take some money.
I want to sit and watch you and that skanky ho chew salads. Well, luckily for him, the no one caught the ball. Landed right in the net.
Oh, he hit it?
When he hit his 600th, And the security guard fished it out and just gave it to him.
Oh, so security guard held on to it.
I don't want anything from you. Juice head.
It was quite a collective yawn in the baseball world when he hit that number 600, wasn't it?
Yep. He's the youngest player ever, apparently, though, to hit 600 home runs. So
quite a career.
He's got that going for him. And that's the only thing I will ever say about baseball ever in the Showbiz Beat. So hope you all enjoyed it. Sean Penn and his wife Robin Wright have finalized their divorce. They've been married since 1996. And have been separated since 1997, I believe. No, it's not been that long, but they've been split up for a long time now. Now it's finalized, though. They've reached an agreement on child and spousal support, splitting of their assets, and other issues. Now Sean is completely free to date his 26-year-old model girlfriend.
Yep.
Seems to be how it works. Jessica White. For a guy who's dating a 26-year-old smoking hot girl like Jessica White, Sean still seems pretty surly.
He really should be
happier.
It does not seem like fun.
He should be more giddy. By the way, Sean is in the talks about playing a book publisher, a book editor, rather, in his next film. True story about a guy named Max Perkins, who was the editor in his time for F. Scott Fitzgerald, Ernest Hemingway, and Tom Wolfe.
Wow.
That must have been an interesting life that guy had, yeah, dealing with those personalities. Kevin, those are very popular authors. They wrote a bunch of books.
Are you still talking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is a tremendous actor, Sean Penn. In every movie he does, he's just great to watch, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know who any of those people are.
A-hole, wouldn't want a road trip with him, but I sure enjoy his work.
Wouldn't want to be stuck in a boat in New Orleans with him. But I will go see anything he's in.
There is that list of actors that you would love to have a beer with. He's not on it.
No,
he's not.
I fear he would hit me with the bottle when he was done with his beer.
Yeah.
For no good reason. He's currently filming a movie called This Must Be the Place, which is a thriller, which is odd for Sean. Usually he sticks with pretty much heavy dramas. He's doing a thriller about a retired rock.
Thriller.
I thought I was saying a website there for a minute.
No, that was the Thriller.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
All right, no, it was good.
Take it back.
Thriller about a retired rock star who is looking for an ex-Nazi war criminal who executed his father.
Okay.
All right.
That old story again. I hate when the rock stars try to track down Nazis. Enough, Hollywood. We've seen it too many times.
Do you think he's getting pigeonholed into the comedy area where nobody will accept anything
serious?
Because
if he goes all Spicoli with it, then that would be all funny.
How dare you.
Kevin, the interview killer.
And the famous fictional elephant Babar is heading to the silver screen. Finally, they're getting around to making the Babar movie.
Who's Babar? What,
Kevin, Babar. Didn't you read Babar when you were a little boy? Didn't your mom ever read Babar to you?
I didn't really either. I mean, I know who it is, but...
It's an elephant?
Yeah. It's an elephant.
All right.
Instead of Curious George, think...
Elephant.
Curious elephant.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Apparently, the guy who put up the cash for the Twilight movies is going to be financing a series of Babar films, and it's going to be a worldwide international smash hit success. Because kids all over the world read those books, except Kevin. He was busy throwing rocks at his neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
I was.
And speaking of big budget, big screen versions of other projects, there had been rumors for some time that there was going to be a Saved by the Bell movie.
Right.
I think a spoof a la Brady Bunch kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jessica Biel has said she wants to be in it if it happens.
All right.
Oh, my God.
All right.
I want to be Kelly Kapowski. I'm putting it out there.
I want her to be as well.
She's all News of the World. In the meantime, she'll be starring in a romantic comedy called Nailed.
All right.
Come out later this year. But she is. She said she's up for Kelly Kapowski if the role's open. Kelly Kapowski, of course, was the delicious Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Who's now
That's
just
right.
Tiffany Thiessen, who can be seen on White Collar over there on USA, which I enjoy enormously. Are you it's watching White Collar?
I am. Ralph turned me on to two of those shows. They're good.
I like them too.
That followed by Covert Affairs. That's a good night of TV over there on USA.
Who knew?
Characters welcome. Not being paid for that.
You getting paid for that?
No. Today's celebrity birthdays. Astronaut Neil Armstrong is 80 years old today.
Getting paid to say his birthday?
Yes, I am. By Armstrong Flooring.
It's not taken off.
Enough. That's the tie-in. Pat Smear of Foo Fighters is 51. Brought to you by Pap Smears. Get yours today.
Lisa.
Tawny Catane is 49 years old today. Brought to you by Brawny Paper Towels. Even Tawny likes Brawny.
Come on.
Meowk.
Come on, that's not bad.
MCA of the B Boys is 46 years old. Brought to you by your local YMCA. YMCA? Because he's good in the Beastie Boys.
Oh,
Jonathan
my
Silverman.
God.
Oh, put that in the file.
Jonathan Silverman is 44 years old today. He's not brought by anybody. It's just his birthday.
Poor Jonathan.
Wow. You know, come on, guys. We're all still pals, right?
File.
We're all still pals.
Ralph certainly has a lot of imagination.
Sure, we're pals, but file.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 12 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Oh. Hey, you love Twilight? You'll buy anything that Twilight is a part of? Have we got a story for you about Robert Pattinson underwear coming up in minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, time for the Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
All right, today we're going to do it a little different. I have three headlines. You pick one. I'm going to tell you the story.
Okay.
And then Bean has three headlines, and you pick one. And we're going to pick one, and then he'll tell us the story.
Okay.
All right, first Citizen of the Day headline is, I was depressed. So I sold my husband's army medals to cruise the Mediterranean.
Okay.
The second is police say Stark's man shot himself in the leg, then caused standoff.
Ooh, I like that. Okay.
Shot himself in both legs.
Both
and then the
legs.
Police are like, put down the gun. And he said, no.
He was only shooting himself.
And finally, finger and butt crack sparks knife fight.
There we go.
Well, come on. What do you think we're going to choose? Course.
I smell a winner.
Butt crack.
And do you think it's out of Florida? Because all of these stories are no, Dallas.
Oh.
How about that?
How about that? A Dallas woman touched her friend's buttocks. Apparently, her friend was leaning over, and the pants were a little low, and there was a little butt cleavage.
Okay.
So the woman touched the buttocks, sparking an assault and an attempted stabbing. According to the police report, the unnamed suspect rubbed a finger along the victim's butt crack.
Oh, I would hate that, by the way. I'm right there with the victim on this. I'm extremely protective of my butt.
All right, I'm going to need that.
Extremely protective. Right, I don't want anybody putting anything anywhere down there.
Right, but it's just the butt crack. It's just the top of the butt crack. It's not. It's nowhere near down below where you can do damage.
Right. Okay. All right, so what happened?
Okay, so apparently, according to this person, and I'm not joking, it prompted her to clench her buttocks. Okay, good. The victim claimed that the clenching caused the bed she was sitting on to break. Because she clenched her buttocks so hard that the bed broke.
Okay.
A fight ensued in which the suspect repeatedly hit the victim before grabbing a butcher knife.
Yay!
And threatening to kill her.
This got this went hardly wrong fast.
According to the report, she said, "Are you ready to die?" The alleged victim called the police, and the suspect fled.
That's why you keep your fingers away from somebody's butt. That's what I'm saying.
And don't clench.
How do you clench so hard a bed breaks?
You don't.
No kidding.
That's stupid.
Some clenching right there.
Wow.
That is like... That's like $6 million man clenching.
That's what that is.
That's crazy.
They got to take that on the road. You're right, Lisa. That's awesome.
All right, so that's my story.
I also have a butt story for you to choose from. Three headlines, all for Kevin and Bean, potential citizens today. You tell me, would you like eel removed from man's butt?
Oh, man.
Would you like woman beats boyfriend with vacuum cleaner? Or man eats grandmother alive?
Oh, we don't want to hear man eats grandmother alive.
Are you sure?
Let's do eel.
You want to go with that? You want another butt story, Lisa? Can I get it up?
Yeah,
let's do the theme.
I don't want to hear a man eating his
grandmother. Me neither.
Yeah. Let's hear eel.
Here is a story out of China, apparently true.
Hi.
This is, his name is Li Chang.
Hi!
He has right. suffered severe internal injuries sitting on the edge of an eel tank at his warehouse in southern China where the eels were waiting to be cooked. He slipped off the edge of the tank and fell into the eels.
Uh-huh. And?
By the way, I know, when I first saw the story, Lisa, I thought this is another guy showing up at the emergency room saying, no, I just fell into the tank full of eels.
Fell into it.
Without pants on?
No way.
But apparently there were tons of witnesses. This happened during the workday. Chang said, I guess they were scared when I suddenly landed in their tank, so they started wriggling everywhere. Several shot up my trouser leg, so he was wearing pants. And then, to my horror, I felt an eel go up my bottom.
It's just not that easy.
How do they know that's where the gold is?
I don't know. That's a great question. Like, what would draw an eel to want to climb up into a person? I don't know. Here's the part this is where the story gets crazy. Incredibly, Chang was so embarrassed that he carried on working. I didn't say anything at first when I climbed out. I was too embarrassed, so I dried myself off and tried to carry on working, but it was just too painful. Colleagues dialed the emergency services when Chang eventually collapsed in agony. Astonished medics carried out a 5-hour operation to remove the eel and repair the severe internal trauma caused by it thrashing about. Hospital spokesperson says the eel had badly injured the patient. If he had not arrived at the hospital when he did, he would have died. We do expect him to make a full recovery. And there's actually a picture in the story of the eel in a little container in the operating room that they removed from the guy. And this eel does not look happy. This eel had just as bad a day as the man did. And that is the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
You know, Lisa May, this is Gene Simmons.
Hey,
speaking
Gene
of
Simmons.
Severe internal trauma from thrashing about.
Sorry. No time.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Time for one more look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday. Ralph Garman steps in to tell us what.
Heard you guys talking to Rob Pattinson.
Yeah.
Of Twilight fame. Apparently he is obsessed with his car.
With his car?
Yeah. Star Magazine reports that he went ballistic on his buddy after he spilled ketchup on the seat of his classic 1963 Chevy Nova. Yeah, that's a ride. Oh, you get behind the wheel of a Nova. You really know you're riding in comfort. Don't worry. The seats are vinyl. It'll wipe right up, Pat. Don't worry about it.
There are a lot of people would like to restore those to their original condition, right?
Yes.
Is that what this is about? And then he's all crazy.
But if you're going to spend the time, money into restoring a particular car,
don't make it.
I wouldn't bother with the 63 Nova.
All right.
I'm just saying.
I got you on that.
I was down at the Dinner for Schmucks premiere a couple of weeks ago, the Kevin Bean event that we did, and I parked next to this car in the parking lot. It was one of those Mustangs or one of those cars, and it was like bright banana yellow. And I thought, what a bizarre color for somebody to choose for a car like that. I couldn't believe it was like a clown car or something. It's just like, ooh, hey, look at me. I'm crazy. I'm driving a bright yellow car. It's just weird.
That was Ralph's car.
What?
It couldn't have been mine because mine is Grabber Orange. Just ask anyone at Ford, and they will tell you the color of my car is orange.
That's what they told you?
The color, once again, orange.
Right.
That's so color. One more time, orange.
Orange. Right.
Saying it's orange doesn't make it yellow? Just by saying those words out loud?
I believe it was Parnelli Jones, winner of the 1970 Trans Am race in that particular Boss Mustang, who coined the color that he crafted himself as Grabber Orange.
He can call it Grabber Orange. He won that race.
Don't make me get Bo Bachman on the phone. He will tell you what color that car is.
I was talking to Bo Bachman.
I
was talking to Bo Bachman.
Don't make me get Tawny Arnett on the phone because he will slap you down.
I said, Ralph finds it so annoying when we call it yellow. It's so fun.
It was awfully bright.
What did he say? What did he say in response to you?
He said it was orange.
So suck it! Tila Tequila in the news, sadly. Bye! Here's the thing. There was reports that Tila Tequila was set to star in a porn video, which really makes nothing but perfect sense. Really. That's where her career belongs. I mean, I wouldn't watch it, but that's really what she should be doing, right? Yeah. Here's the thing. She immediately took to the internet to vehemently deny everything. I finally got online and saw that there are false rumors that I made a deal for a sex tape, which is BS, she writes on her website.
Finally got online. She's never not online.
I have a feeling I know is spreading these false rumors. He got fired for inappropriate behavior, and now he's pissed. So she may have made the deal just to deny the deal, just in order to go.
I swear to God, every rumor that she denies, I believe she starts. I really do, because no one else cares enough about her to start rumors.
Yeah, she's generating rumors about her. I repeat, she says, I did not make a deal to make a sex tape. Well, there's good news. There's silver lining, I guess, to every cloud.
Sure. Orange?
Yes, right. It's orange, exactly. Joseph Gordon-Levitt was injured on the set of his new movie. Here's the thing. Guy was running up and down walls in Inception back
Inception,
and forth.
Inception, that was a
great
scene.
Bouncing all over the place.
Yeah.
Like a freaking Cirque du Soleil performer he was working. Fine. He's making a movie called Premium Rush where he has to ride a bicycle.
Uh-oh.
And he smashed his bike into the back of a taxi cab.
I hope they leave that in.
Hard enough to send him through the rear windshield.
Oh my God.
Dude.
Badly slashing his arm. He was rushed from the set to the hospital where he had 31 stitches in his arm.
Is he okay?
That's serious.
Well, he's got 31 stitches
in
his arm.
But is he okay? Is he going to be okay?
Other than that, he's okay.
Put it in the movie.
Put it in the movie?
Absolutely. Nothing funnier.
The movie's called Premium Rush, and he plays a bicycle courier. So I'm guessing did not deliver his package on time in that particular run.
Orange.
It's orange. That's right. Yes. That's the color.
Not yellow.
Orange. Katy Perry.
Oh!
By the way, speaking of Ms. Perry, if you have not yet seen her photo spread in Rolling Stone magazine...
Yeah, you're gay.
Turn off the radio right now and get yourself to a computer and just look it up.
Well, they can wait till...
Nope. Okay. They cannot wait.
All right.
I would
the picture,
not wait.
The picture of her in the kitchen, I think, is the new Iwo Jima plant the flag photo.
Whatever,
I mean, it really
the kitchen.
Is
what about
the
her
defining,
and the fishnets on the beach?
They're all great, but I'm saying the one of her standing in the kitchen, I swear to God, they should put that on the dollar bill.
In the kitchen.
What about the one with fishnets on the beach?
They're all great. Right, I'm just saying my favorite happens to be the one of her in the kitchen. That's all.
The kitchen! Accoutrement!
The kitchen one is the least of all the photos.
It's great.
Oh, you're just saying that to be contrary.
No,
that's
not
a fantastic
if you're going
photo.
To single one photo out.
That would be the one.
How could you possibly make it the kitchen photo?
Because it's the best.
You're just saying that to be anti-contrary. I don't even know if there is such a thing.
He agrees,
yeah,
I think.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, here's the story. Dumb. She recently did a press conference in Singapore this week.
Hey!
Wearing nothing but a floral bikini.
All right.
That's how she did her press conference.
And that's how she should do all of them.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. She told Q Magazine this week, by the way, that she suffers a little bit from OCD. And if any of her pets shed on her precious clothing, she gets a little anal about it and has to take it out and clean it up herself and get tape and take all the hair off and just really clean up that piece of clothing.
A mess.
I think if you could do away with the clothing, you don't have that issue.
That's correct.
Because pet hair comes right off your skin.
It does. That's true.
That's right.
Doesn't
even
stick. Katy Perry.
Look at that photo
like,
of her on the beach.
Yeah, like, that's not the best picture. Like, that's not it.
That's a right. 10.
The kitchen. Look at the kitchen one. Tell me what the kitchen one is.
Kitchen's an 8.
Kitchen might be an 8, but when you compare it with that one, it's a 4.
Yeah.
You guys are high.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
And just a real quick update on Anapka the donkey.
Who's that?
Anapka the donkey is the famous donkey that was seen parasailing over the beaches in Russia recently.
Had the daredevil donkey, right?
Had a great time.
Caused a big upset.
Right.
About, you know, people wanting to protect donkey rights.
Right.
Turns out Lisa May has been feeding that donkey for a year and a half.
She has, and we didn't know it.
If you know
back
it or
in
not.
The field.
Apparently all is well with Anapka. Anapka was purchased by the London Sun tabloid at the urgings of thousands of upset donkey rights activists. And now a British soccer team wants to use the donkey as a mascot. The British soccer team said, "We always wanted a useless animal on our team. Beckham wasn't available, so we got a donkey." So, congratulations, Anapka. You'll be heading for the UK sometime soon.
I sense in a place like Russia, they don't do a lot of anti-animal cruelty charging like they should for this guy who let the donkey be raised.
No, they don't do a lot of anti-human rights charging.
Yeah. No, they don't.
So,
as the only member of the show with a donkey, I did take that story personally. Very offensive.
I know.
I'm just saying it's close to me because I have a donkey and I picture how terrified my happy would be.
You don't know that. It's exasperating.
Maybe the donkey is having the greatest time of its life. Look at this view. I've never seen a view like
fly. How many donkeys have ever said they've been parasailing? He's the only one. He's like the Neil Armstrong of donkeys. One small step for a donkey, one giant parasailing ride for donkey kind. That's what he was thinking.
Okay.
Speaking of which, Neil Armstrong celebrates his 80th birthday today as we look at famous celebrity birthdays. He was first man on the moon, don't you know?
Sure was.
A kitchen picture's not bad.
It's a good picture. Don't
That's a good picture.
It's a damn good picture.
But only because she's so good.
But I'm just saying.
I'm saying too.
I wish I was that lemon she was squeezing right now.
Why?
That's a good question. Why?
Because then all the juice would come out of me. Like, she's squeezing lemons, obviously, making some lemonade
or something.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
He knows what you're talking about.
Pat Smear, guitarist for Foo Fighters, is 51 years old today. Tawny Kitaen is 49 years old. Adam Yauch of the Beastie Boys is 46 years old today. What?
Yeah.
Jonathan Silverman turns 44 years old. And little Maddox Jolie Pitt is 9 years old today. I bit down on a Maddox Jolie Pitt once. Broke my crown right off my back molar.
It'll do it.
It's unbelievable. Dennis was furious. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. It's Friday. That means we have Movie Beat. Friday also means we have a 50-50 chance of Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We have more tickets for you to go to Dodger Day, which is Saturday, of course. We have LaQuisha on tomorrow's show talking about Jersey Shore.
GTL.
We are talking about my hatred of food TV for some reason.
What's
people find
up
that
with you.
That's just dumb. We're going to call China and find out some more information about that eel in the butt story.
Let's not.
Yeah,
call
we're gonna, because
China.
We need more detail. Because I don't believe it.
I don't either.
I fell in the tank and I had pants on. No way.
But you're not going to learn anything.
Ralph, you were in the other room, so we didn't get your take on this. Kevin refuses to believe this story. He thinks this is another guy who made up a story because he showed up at an emergency room with an eel in his butt. And he created something that wasn't sexual. But I'm saying because of the detail in this story about the guy being at work and witnesses and all that stuff, it sounds real to me.
And the workers were the ones that took him to the hospital.
But is there were witnesses that it wasn't hinky.
It
was an accident. He fell into a tank.
Let me ask you a question. Grab an eel on his lunch break and put it in his lunchbox and then stuff it in his butt in the locker room?
I don't think it was on purpose. Let me ask you this question, though. Did all of the witnesses work for him? Yes.
They were co-workers with him.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, I could be wrong. But we're still going to call China because it's fun.
Because that's always strong. When you call a foreign country, you always get top-notch comedy.
And we're going to talk to the Monkey Whisperer. And this is a person who has, there's a special on TV called My Child is a Monkey. So we got that coming up tomorrow.
She goes to people's homes where they own monkeys and are having behavior problems.
Yeah.
And she helps figure out what's going on in the dynamic of the relationship.
I wonder what her take-home was last year I wonder what the wonder what she's pulling down as a monkey whisperer. How often her phone rings?
Couple hundred bucks a year.
Monkey whisperer, how can I help you? I don't think she's working that
That's
much.
That's tomorrow morning on an all new Kevin and Bean show.
The accoutrement that you will need. Accoutrement? What is that?
I don't know. I do know there's 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including the new one from Linkin Park called The Catalyst, also Sublime, Radiohead, Blink-182, Nirvana, and more with our friend Kat Corbett right after this on K-Rock.